The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, May 13th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an investigation is underway in Norristown after police responded to a fight involving more than 50 kids at a church carnival. Dozens of people showed up to a forum on Sunday with Norristown Police Department Chief Mark Talbot. Talbot said an investigation is underway to see if the actions of the officers involved were justified. Talbot says the incident started as a fight between some of the kids at the St. Francis Carnival on Saturday around 8:30. Some of them were juveniles, and they said that they were being aggressive, and his officers had to ask for backup from other departments because of it. Cell phone video shows dozens of juveniles involved in the brawl. At one point, the video shows an officer pulling out what appears to be pepper spray, but it doesn't look like he actually uses it. Punches are thrown by both the juveniles and officers. Video also shows one girl that's being held in a chokehold by an officer.
They say it was a rumble between the Methodists and the Lutherans.
No, no.
You know, you get those two together.
Yeah.
Can't hold them back.
Carnage.
Talbot wouldn't say how many people were taken into custody or comment on any injuries. He said the officers had to call for backup from other departments and said it will take some time to sort out the details and see if the officers' actions were justified. Norristown police would like to speak to any witnesses who may have any info about what happened that night.
Press, you ever, not you personally, because I know you haven't, but was there any rumbles with your rival high schools?
I mean, yeah, there were. I remember in particular, yeah, there was like one night we were all gonna,
yeah,
you know, we went to Parkway Central and the Parkway
down.
South.
We're gonna rumble tonight.
We're gonna go kick the ass of the people from Parkway South.
Yeah.
And we
went down there snapping.
Yeah. We started our songs and everything.
And when do you start your elaborate pre-fight dance?
Well, that's right before, just to get you hyped up. But they never happen.
No, it always really peters happened. Out because yeah. some is, you know, less people
but,
show up.
I remember getting caught up in the crowd mentality when that sure. was going to happen because we were all like congregating and everybody was getting all fired up and
yeah.
you know you feel invincible I guess and tough
yeah,
and when you're not really
yeah absolutely
but anyway this is like the second carnival brawl this year
first
one I remember the one in Aston
and one in Aston where they
shut it down
shut the whole thing down they're like okay you know what we're not going to do this anymore
yeah it's not good I used to go for cotton candy yeah. I mean, it wasn't the rumble that I was interested in but it seems to be normal
we're looking at the video though here and it looks pretty bad I mean
yeah
they had a call for backup
people throwing punches left and right it was like a small riot
yeah
is this supposed to be a place of fun and happiness
right? Supposed to have fun at a carnival.
I don't know, man. The last one I went to at the Harleysville JC's fair, kids butting in line, pissing me off.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe there needs to be.
Watching my kids and all these other kids were getting in front of them, and I was getting a little angry.
And then your kids don't say anything, and you're like, I want to say something so bad.
Parents don't say anything.
You know how when you go skydiving, they make you watch a film? Perhaps they have to do that when you go to the carnival.
How to stand in
line.
To
maximize your enjoyment of today's carnival.
Get in the back of the line.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Police said a 5-year-old child and a 67-year-old woman were shot during a family block party in Chester on Saturday evening. It happened at 5 o'clock during a Mother's Day party at 3rd and Lloyd Streets. Witnesses at the party said one person who was not attending the party ran up and opened fire, sending partygoers running for cover. They said the block was full of at least 24 people at the time of the shooting. Kids were playing in the street when the gunman appeared. The woman shot, she was shot in the arm and the child was shot in the leg. Police used a tourniquet on the child as they rushed her to the hospital. Both victims were taken to Crozier Chester Medical Center and they are listed in good condition. There are no arrests in the shooting yet, but police are working on releasing a description of the shooter. The world's new record holder for the most expensive cup of coffee will soon be available at one roasting company in San Francisco. Klatch Coffee Roasters has one location in the Bay Area and several locations in Southern California. Together, they're splitting 10 pounds of super exclusive Elita Geisha 803, which costs $803 a pound wholesale.
Whoa! Why?
So after roasting, it's closer to $1,200 a
pound. So what's it on a per cup basis?
I don't know what they'll charge per cup. But the co-owner of Klatch's Northern California location, Bo Thiera, says that you could see the excitement on his face as he was describing the exclusivity and the quality of the coffee. It's a unique coffee. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a unique coffee that comes from Panama. It's by far better than any other coffee you hear about that comes from animals. So, yes, it's basically
it's pooped out.
It's one of those.
Yeah. Like,
Kopi Luwak.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Right? Yeah. But Kopi Luwak is the one that you've heard about for years. So there's another one. Okay.
Supposedly, yes, even more rare God. And, according to him, delicious.
Shut up.
The Elita Geisha 803 was auctioned off to buyers all over the world. Out of the available 100 pounds, Klatch Roasters owns only 10 pounds in the entire United States. That's about 80 cups of coffee for the entire country.
What the
split between San Francisco and L.A. It's so exclusive. Even the baristas, who they say trained for 406 hours to work at Klatch, want to be extra careful when preparing the coffee.
I think there's a level of pomposity here, and I think they're going to... Oh, yes, that's an $800 cup of coffee. I can tell the difference.
I do kind of want to taste it, though.
Well,
come on.
I mean, if the animal went to all the trouble of crapping it out, the least you can do is eat it.
It'll probably taste like strong, nasty coffee.
This tastes like a monkey ass.
I'm sorry, did you indicate how many ounces the cup of coffee is?
I don't know. They just said that they have 10 pounds of it, and it'll be, so there's only 80 cups.
People will flock. They you know, obviously, clearly, as you're saying, there people are insane for it, so.
Somebody texted and said they're looking at $75 a cup on coffee.
Okay.
$75.
Can you believe that?
Coffee.
$75.
Well, you can get a decent cup of coffee for $12.
So in this same article, it said the average cup of coffee ranges from $4 to $12 a cup.
That's true. Remember how ridiculous that used to sound?
Oh my God!
Yeah,
there's no way.
25 cents, you know, or maybe 50 cents or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Before designer coffees,
what cost $12 though?
Oh, I don't know.
I think the handy you get with the coffee.
You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty
expensive.
All right,
which hand do you want me to use, sweetie?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, most expensive cup of coffee, $75.
You know, if you go to Dunkin' today, just get yourself a delicious cup of coffee for not even close to that, less than $2.
Yep.
All right, in sports this morning. The Sixers season is over after a heartbreaking loss in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Kawhi Leonard sunk the game-winning shot that bounced on the rim four times before eventually falling in to give the Raptors a 92-90 win. The Raptors move on to the finals against the Milwaukee Bucks. Their first game is on Wednesday. Now, the Sixers' future remains unknown as Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler move into free agency. 25-year-old rookie pitcher Cole Irving allowed 5 hits in 7 innings as the Phillies beat the Royals 6-1 in yesterday's Mother's Day game. Phillies play the Brewers tonight at Citizens Bank Park. Aaron Nola gets the start, and game time is at 7:05. In the NHL, the Boston Bruins beat the Carolina Hurricanes 6-2 to take a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. And in the Western Conference, the San Jose Sharks host the St. Louis Blues in game 2 tonight. The Sharks lead that series by 1 game. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome back from the weekend, everybody. Do we have a Rocky with our weather report?
No. You got to keep.
What do you got to do here? So, well, Casey is trying to do a new system playing a piece of audio.
Okay.
Straight from the web. Go ahead. Let's hear what it says.
Oh, my God.
You got it, bro.
We got it, man.
You got it, roast beef.
Yeah.
My house stinks.
This is the weather.
That's right. It stinks.
Yeah.
I have no baby from you. Don't fall around me.
It's not happening.
It stinks.
Yeah, it just sucks.
What about my prime, Nick?
He's prime.
At least
prime.
You have prime.
Yeah, it's prime.
I ain't had no problem. I ain't had nothing.
That's how bad the
weather stinks. He stinks. Well, it's not good as other. It's inclement. It's out there. It's moist. It's rainy. It's cloudy. It stinks. Barometric pressure's all over the place. Can't even get a good reading. Temperature's up and down. Celsius, Fahrenheit, Kelvin. I don't know. It stinks.
Did you use the thing you spin around?
Yeah, the sling psychrometer.
Right. Yeah.
I know it. Absolutely. Weather balloon won't go up. It stinks.
By the way, 6ABC spent a lot of time with that weather balloon last week. Did you see that?
It was a lot.
They
spent less time on shuttle launches.
I know.
But it does piss me off that they did have a degree of success.
Well, we didn't with the blow-up sex doll.
Multiple times. Failed miserably. And then see elementary schools pull it off effortlessly.
That's why we gave it up.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of schools, ladies and gentlemen, we begin right now at this very moment the Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year competition.
Yeah!
We're
doing it again.
I love this.
We've done this several years in a row. Do I have official information, Casey?
Yes, right here.
What is that, Chinese takeout there?
I just want to make sure that, well, yeah, actually, instead of using a jar, Marissa has taken all the names of the schools and she's put them into a gigantic Preston and Steve Chinese takeout box.
Love it.
It's a little easier to reach into. Sometimes the jar is hard to get your hand in there.
Yeah.
We had a big mason jar. But each teacher is going to get the official Preston Steve Coolest Teacher coffee mug and a $50 WhatACrockMeals.com gift card. So,
and we took the extra step to sort of ask you to nominate your school for possible selection.
Yeah, it was Marissa's idea. So we did that. And thank you to all the submissions. We have well over 150 that are in here. So we're going to choose them each morning. For the next few weeks, we are going to draw a name and then we are going to enable voting for you to tell us about who you think the coolest teacher of the year has been. And we do high schools because we know the entire student body should be able to vote on their own. Most, you know, have cell phones of
that age by then.
So that's why we do that. But this is, of course, an appreciation of all teachers, whether it be grade school, middle school, you know, college, anybody, professors. So let's do this. I'll choose since I've got the container here. And we'll draw the first school and I will tell you how you need to vote. So our first school chosen.
What do you say?
Yeah. To determine who the coolest teacher of the year has been is Marion Mercy Academy.
Yeah. Marion Mercer Academy.
Yep. Mercy Academy. Marion Mercy Academy.
It's right down the street, man.
All right. So you guys get to vote. And Marissa, how are we doing the voting? Please tell me.
We're going to do it in the past. What you're going to do is you're going to text the word teacher with a space. And then your teacher's name to 39333. So it's teacher, a space, your teacher's name to 39333.
All right, so make sure that everybody is aware of how you do that. If you're going to tell people to vote, make sure that that is exactly how you do it. So you need to do send the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, a space, after you write the word teacher to 39333. That's going to funnel it into a folder for us, and it will be easier for us to reconcile all that and compile everything. So we give you roughly 24 hours to do it. We'll wrap it up just before we get on the show tomorrow, and then we'll reveal who the winner is, and then we'll pick another school, and then we'll make our choices. So let them know in the front office if you go to Marion Mercer Academy to make announcements, let people know, and make sure that they do know the way. Marissa, is that posted anywhere on our website?
Yes, it is. It's right on WMMR.com, PrestonSteve.com, and we'll share it on all of our socials so you guys can share it to all your fellow students.
Awesome. And it shows you how to do it properly, right? You got the space and everything. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. So we're underway.
Yes. I love this. And last week was Teacher Appreciation Week. Yes. So we got started on time.
Perfect timing. All right. So with that, we are going to take a quick break, come back in a second, and we'll do the entertainment report. Got some stories to share with you and some giveaways. Stupid question. And I'll tell you about the Word of the Week prize. We'll get to that in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
MMR's official opening of...
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Jersey.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we got a stupid question for you and a pair of tickets for the Game of Thrones live concert experience, which is going to be September 12th at the Man. And the question I have for you this morning, courtesy of listener Mike Diggin, who sent this in, it's a good one. He said, what is the full name of the Pringles mascot?
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I looked it up, and it is correct.
I didn't even know they had a mascot.
Yeah, you know the guy's face with the big mustache?
I guess so, yeah.
Pringles, yeah. All right, 215-263-WMMR. What is the full name of the Pringles mascot? Call now, and we'll see if you can get it correct. Birthdays today, being 13th, include Robert Pattinson and he is 32 years old today.
The great miss on that years ago.
Oh, man, we're going to be reminded of this every May 13th.
Before the Twilight series was starting. Listen, you didn't know, but there was an offer to have him come into the studio.
Yeah.
But this is before the buzz started for the movies.
Now I'm a little gun-shy, so yeah, every single tween movie star. I'm like, yeah
come on in.
Yeah, please. Let's have him. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? He's actually a pretty good actor. That, Water for Elephants?
Yeah.
He was really good in it.
He hasn't done anything that I'm
not aware of lately.
Okay.
32 today. Lena Dunham, actress, writer, director, Girls. She is 33 years old today. Darius Rucker, who is the former lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish, although they are touring this year.
Back together.
And, you know, say whatever you like. I like that band. I always did. It's very poppy, up, fun music, and was beaten to death by radio and video. But I just thought it was pleasant, and that's all there is to it. So and
critics dumped all over him. I'm like, of course. Oh, what's wrong with this?
I don't care for them at all.
Really?
And I just don't understand why, like, Hootie and the Blowfish gets a pass, but Nickelback is savaged by everyone.
What do you mean they get a pass? Dude, they were destroyed.
Yeah,
they were incredibly successful, but they were beat to death.
Critics hated
by them. Critics. Oh, yeah. And it was considered not cool to like Hootie and the Blowfish. It was very cheeseball.
Really? I like Hootie.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That's the thing.
I think it's super
I'm a Hootite.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. But I mean, they weren't really giving a pass.
But I like Nickelback.
I just learned this year that he's a huge Miami Dolphins fan. Like, has a tattoo on his stomach.
Oh,
so when
yeah.
he says the Dolphins make me cry.
Yeah, we just learned about
it that.
Oh, maybe I just learned it on the show.
You learned it on this show.
He's 53. Stephen Colbert is 55 years old today.
His show is consistently number one in the late time wars when it wasn't the case initially, but it flipped over.
Big one for Harvey Keitel, man. He turns 80 years old today.
Oh,
no, I didn't know that he was
80.
That he was up there in that number. But great actor, so many great movies over the years.
First time I saw him was in a movie called Mean Streets with De Niro, one of Scorsese's earliest efforts. Really great movie.
Then we have Dennis Rodman celebrating his birthday today. He is 58 years old. Don't know what his current status is.
He's actually been accused of shoplifting from a yoga studio.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Dennis Rodman. If you go to TMZ, in fact, they're following up on this because he might have done it again. He and a few other people.
Really?
It's like a high-end hot yoga place in L.A., and he apparently he's robbed it twice.
What is he taking?
Clothing and, like, jewelry and stuff. That's so they have... Listen, there's no way it can't be him. Who else looks like him, you know? But, so that's currently in his roster right now.
Wow.
And being friends with Kim Jong-un.
He's 58 today. The great talent, Stevie Wonder, turns 69 years old. Yeah, one of the most talented musicians, period. Natural talent.
All right, I have to ask. When he blows out the cake, do they point his head for him?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or he puts his hand over to feel where the heat is.
Yes, I just have to ask.
And then he can figure out where the candles are.
Was he born blind?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about a nuclear reactor of talent, and you see footage of him at like 12 years old, 13 years old. Astonishing. He's just a genius.
I forgot which album or song or award it was that Paul Simon had won at the Grammys, but one of the first things he said was, I want to thank Stevie Wonder for not putting an album out this year. Yeah. So 69 years old today. Another musician, Buckethead.
Buckethead!
His real name is Brian Carroll. Played with Guns N' Roses as well as other groups. So he is 51 today.
Saw a picture of him with Mrs. Buckethead for Mother's Day, and it was just lovely.
Aw. All right, well, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is the full name of the Pringles mascot? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And we are going to go to, let's go to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Christine. What is the full name of the Pringles mascot, please?
Julius Pringles.
Yeah, Julius Pringles.
Julius Pringles.
Hang on a second. Huh. Christine, we are going to give you a pair of tickets for Game of Thrones live concert experience September 12th at The Man, and music by Raymond Jawadi. Tickets are on sale today, actually, and it starts at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com, so go get them. We got a lot of stuff to get to, so I'm going to zip right through this. Avengers Endgame was number one at the box office once again. Took in $63 million. That brings its total to $2.5 billion, putting it within striking distance of Avatar's $2.9 billion. Most likely it'll surpass that. Then you had Pokemon Detective Pikachu, followed by The Hustle, The Intruder, The Long Shot, or just Long Shot, Palms, Ugly Dolls. Number eight was Breakthrough, followed by Tolkien. And number 10, rounding out the box office, was Captain Marvel. We're going to start with Kim and Kanye. They announced on Twitter Friday that they welcomed their fourth child via surrogate.
I had no idea this was in the works. Did you know this was going on?
Yeah, I knew that they were expecting.
Okay.
Is this the second surrogate?
This is the second surrogate. Okay. Correct.
She had two, and they were both very difficult births, and she had a lot of medical issues, and that's why they went the surrogate route.
Yep. And the tweet was simple. It just read, "He's here, and he's perfect." Kim and Kanye confirmed in January that they would be welcoming their fourth child together and their second via surrogate. They were hoping to work with the same surrogate mom, but she was reportedly pregnant with her own child.
What?
The baby joined Chicago, North, and Saint. She has not yet shared their son's name. This waist thing on her is ridiculous. Marissa's pulling up pictures on Instagram of
and
her.
And this sexy dress is the baby shower.
Okay. Whatever. meanwhile, she also addressed the minor scandal over her teeny tiny waist. Fans suspected she had a rib removed on Instagram, and she explained that in addition to wearing a corset to train her waist,
what?
She received corset breathing lessons from the acclaimed French couturier, Mr. Pearl.
Mr. Pearl.
To prepare. And he gave her breathing lessons.
Oh, it's so super tiny, it's going to make people sick.
Yeah, so he actually taught her to breathe properly while wearing this.
Well, because it's hard to breathe when you're tied in like that.
You're completely compacted.
It's squeezing your diaphragm.
Yeah.
There has to be medical aspects to this that are not good for you. To bind yourself up like that.
I'll wear tight clothes, and like I can't wait to get home and get them off because they hurt.
I got to believe the same thing, Steve, that can't be good to your internal organs.
Right?
Squishing them together like that, but
got to turn it into hamburger meat.
Well, see if she ends up paying the price later on. Many fans were perplexed when Constance Wu set out a series of angry, emotional tweets following the news of her ABC hit comedy Fresh Off the Boat that it got renewed. You would think that'd be great
news,
right?
Yes, but yet she seemed pissed off.
Yeah, the 37-year-old Crazy Rich Asians star tweeted, "So upset right now that I am literally crying. Ugh." And she followed by expletives on social media. Commenters called her out after she reportedly also posted dislike under a post about how the show was returning for another season. Later, she attempted to clarify her tweet, saying that it was unrelated to the show's renewal. She said, "Y'all are making a lot of assumptions.
I knew we all were doing that
about what I'm saying. And no, it's not what it's about. What this is about. Stop assuming." Wu didn't delete her earlier tweets and defended them by saying that they were, quote, on the heels of a rough day and were ill-timed with the news of the show. She said, "Please know I am so grateful to be on FOTB, the renewal, and I love the cast and crew. I am proud to be a part of it." When the criticism didn't relent, on Saturday she issued another series of tweet statements, and she wrote, "These words are my truth. I hope you hear them." And then she attached a screenshot of a longer statement. So this is what it said, and this is the reason behind this. "I love FOTB. I was temporarily upset yesterday, not because I hate the show, but because its renewal meant that I had to give up another project that I was really passionate about. So my dismayed social media replies were more about that other project and not about Fresh Off the Boat." Which she probably should have clarified that at first.
I think that would have been the wise way to go. Seemed as if she was pissed off the show was renewed.
Yeah, how are people supposed to interpret that? They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So
shut up, Wu.
Wu also acknowledged that her previous statements were insensitive and that it's a huge privilege that I even have options, she said. Options that Fresh Off the Boat has afforded me. But if one doesn't have privilege...
Privilege? Not everyone can be on Fresh Off the Boat.
They ought to use that privilege as best they can. For me, that means pushing myself artistically.
That's
Miss Wu.
So,
yeah. Actress and former model Peggy Lipton, who rose to stardom in the late 1960s, on the Counterculture Police series, The Mod Squad, and later starred on TV's Twin Peaks, has passed away.
I loved her, man. Yeah. She was a gorgeous woman, and I remember all the way back on the original Mod Squad, and she would always pop up. She was on an episode of Wings as a hot teacher, and she was great.
Yeah, her death from cancer was announced Saturday by Kidada and Rashida Jones, her daughters, from a marriage, of course, to famed music producer Quincy Jones. They said in her statement, she made her journey peacefully with her daughters and nieces by her side. We feel so lucky for every moment that we spent with her. She started modeling at age 15, quickly found herself in demand. At 19, she made her television debut on the sitcom The John Forsythe Show, going on to make appearances on such series as Bewitched and the Alfred Hitchcock Hour and The Virginian. She had turned 21 when she rocketed to fame in 1968 as the street smart flower child Julie Barnes, one of a trio of Los Angeles undercover hippie cops on the ABC crime series The Mod Squad.
We need a squad of hippies.
It was one of the one of pop culture's first efforts to reckon seriously with the counterculture and one of the first TV shows to feature an interracial cast. The series, which co-starred Michael Cole and Clarence Williams III, dealt with issues such as domestic violence, abortion, police brutality, the Vietnam War, and drugs. It was edgy.
It was edgy for its time. Yeah, they did that movie with Claire Danes.
Yep.
And
Giovanni Ribisi was in it. Yeah.
Omar Epps, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. You're correct. So over five seasons, the series earned Lipton one of the It Girls of her time, four Emmy nominations, and a 1971 Golden Globe Award for her best actress in a TV drama. Her role and later marriage to Quincy Jones, who is black, put Lipton in the center of the passions of a rest of America dealing with racism, post-World War II generation, who were breaking free from their parents. So she ended up going on to be in... Twin Peaks.
Yes.
As well as she played Norma Jennings. I didn't watch Twin Peaks. Was that a main character?
One of the main characters. Okay. Yeah. The show was very much an ensemble show. So you had like eight or nine main-ish characters.
Right. The pair's daughters, Kidada and Rashida Jones, of course, would become actors, and the latter gaining fame for The Office and Parks and Recreation, a lot of great movies as well.
And of course, we lost her son, Davy Jones, a while ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's sad news. Sad news.
Yeah, very sad.
In recent years, she continued to appear in occasional supporting roles in films such as When in Rome, and she's in A Dog's Purpose. I didn't know that. I've seen it.
I just saw it.
I will have to go back and see who she played in that movie.
Does she play the love interest?
I don't know who she plays in that movie.
She might. Yeah.
And really Dennis, sure. I don't know if she's as old. How old was she, Preston? I'm sorry.
72, I think.
She could have been love interest to Dennis Quaid. Dennis
Yeah, definitely.
Randy Quaid wouldn't have worked as well in that movie.
I'm not 100% sure.
Randy Quaid would have been the one running around chasing the first.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
A Quaid's life. A Quaid's purpose.
All right, so I'm bringing this up. Because Elon Musk is kind of a celeb, you know.
Yeah.
A defamation case involving him, Tesla CEO Elon Musk, and a British cave diver is going to go to trial October 22nd. Vernon Unsworth sued Musk for defamation last year after Musk repeatedly accused Unsworth of being a pedophile.
And called him a pedo.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah. A judge rejected Musk's claim that he wasn't making a real accusation, in part because of a potentially damning email that Musk sent to BuzzFeed. The judge said a reasonable fact finder could easily conclude that Elon Musk's statements implied assertions of objective fact. Musk and Unsworth got into a brief feud last year following the rescue of a soccer team that was trapped in a cave in Thailand. Unsworth, who with the rescue helped with the rescue operation, criticized Musk's dubious plan to save the team with a kid-sized submarine. And then Musk insulted Unsworth by calling him a pedo guy on Twitter. He doubled down on the insult by tweeting, "Bet you signed a dollar it's true," and then elaborated even further in emails to BuzzFeed, flatly asserting that Unsworth had moved to Thailand for, quote, a child bride who was about 12 years old at the time. I don't know why he got so fired up about all
so
this.
So was any of that peripheral stuff rumors, or was he just pulling this completely out of his ass?
Well, I think he's just pulling it out of his ass, man.
Okay.
Defamation law doesn't apply to opinions or derogatory hyperbole. The judge concluded that Musk's case would be stronger if he simply tweeted an insult, but Musk did not call Unsworth a pedo guy and leave it there, the judge said. Rather, he made follow-up statements indicating that he believed his statements to be true, and that included the emails to BuzzFeed where Musk purported to convey actual facts and even suggested that the BuzzFeed reporter call people in Thailand to confirm his narrative. So I guess maybe he believed it or somebody said something to him about it, but they have essentially found out that it's not true.
By the way, this fight was going on initially as his kids were still trapped in the cage.
Yes.
So they're trying to figure out how to get him the hell out.
All right. So.
And it was actually the diver guy who got him out.
Oh, it's going to court.
There we go.
We'll see how this goes.
Well, this whole pedo thing.
Steve Harvey's daytime show, Steve, has been canceled.
No!
I know it's your jam. Steve.
That's how I get my information every day.
NBC pulled the plug on the show after picking up Kelly Clarkson's new talk show. And putting it into his slot. Yeah. The final show is taped Thursday, Page Six reports. New episodes will air through June.
So...
with repeats airing until September.
He owns the production on it. I guess he could take it and shop it around to other syndicators. But, yeah, this Kelly Clarkson show, we'll see what this is about.
I really don't care for Steve Harvey, but the guy can interview. He can conduct a show. Absolutely. I'm curious what Kelly's abilities will be in that role.
It's the same sort of feel-good. She's going squarely for the Yellen audience. Mm-hmm. So that's what she's going after. And Steve Harvey's show got a little bit more... Dr. Phil-ish with personal problems and issues like that. And that's where he was focusing.
Gotcha.
You said Ellen audience. I heard Yellen audience.
Okay.
Yeah, because you said she's going for the Yellen audience. I'm like, who?
And that confused you?
Yeah, I was like, who the hell is Yellen? Hmm. Just wanted to clarify for everybody else.
His sister was confused this morning as his coworker said Ellen. He heard Yellen. We go down to Jamie Magnuszewski outside the Pentagon. Jim, what do you think the odds are someone to hear Yellen when the other person had said Ellen?
I think they're pretty good, Tom, actually. They both sound very similar except for the Y. Back to you.
Thank you very much. We now resume the show.
Okay.
But I mean, honestly, when I heard Yellen, in my mind, I was like, oh, this is like the Jerry Springer, like, oh, no! Like, that when you...
This just in, Casey Boy this morning doubled down on his claims that the confusion was prominent and true, that one could hear Yellen when the word was Ellen. He stuck to his point and stayed with it through the remainder of the show.
Not the remainder of the show.
Okay, just the remainder of this segment, right?
Well, not the remainder of the segment. How about right now?
How about right now?
Okay.
On tonight's Dateline.
But, yeah.
On Dateline tonight.
Has anyone...
It was a simple misunderstanding.
Has anyone now considered after going after the Yellen audience? I mean, there might be a lot of people out there who are Yellen right now.
Yes.
And we don't even know. They're in their car. They're just yelling at the radio.
For us to stop.
Look at the text board. Everybody. Literally everybody heard Yellen.
He's not kidding. There are a lot of lot of texts coming in saying they heard Yellen. So, Casey, you spoke to the audience. Yeah. Somebody says they thought it was Jellin. Like Magellan.
Like Magellan.
Yeah, I'm Jellin.
My insoles.
All right, so the 2019 Victoria's Secret Fashion Show will be unlike any other, but it's to be determined as to what that actually means. In a statement sent to staff Friday,
probably entertaining.
Les Wexner, CEO of L Brands, the owner of Victoria's Secret, said the show will leave television and be completely revamped. Victoria's Secret has helped launch several careers, including those of Heidi Klum, Alessandra Ambrosio, and Bella and Gigi Hadid. Wexner wrote, "Fashion is a business of change. We must evolve and change to grow. With that in mind, we have decided to rethink the traditional Victoria's Secret fashion show. Going forward, we don't believe network television is the right fit."
It's been bombing in the ratings. So here's the shorthand of it. Yeah, it's been doing very poorly. And, you know, I always hear about it after the fact. I forget to watch it. And when you do watch it, it's terrible because you know what they do? They make these models the correspondents. They make them.
No.
And they're horrible at it. Why do you think you're here? Take a wild guess.
Yeah, 2018's show hit a record low in ratings and came under fire after its chief marketing officer said transgender models shouldn't be cast. The show and the brand has also been criticized for failing to celebrate racial embodied diversity. L Brands also shuttered 53 stores after the business reportedly failed to meet expectations. I didn't know that.
Everyone who knows the brand, and a lot of people love the brand, and, you know, that's fine. But it is expensive stuff. Even the basic stuff is very expensive.
While Wexner didn't detail plans, he added that in 2019 and beyond, we're focusing on developing exciting and dynamic content and a new kind of event delivered to our customers on platforms that she's glued to and in ways that will push the boundaries of fashion in the global
digital
age. Wow, that
sounds like a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right about that. One last story. I think it's all we have time for. How about this? In the first trailer for the Judy Garland biopic, Judy, Renee Zellweger stars as the legendary singer and actress, and we see her touching down in London for a series of sold-out concerts at the Talk of the Town nightclub.
Wait, she can fly in this movie?
No, she's in an airplane.
Oh.
A stripped-down version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow plays. The film follows the star's final days before dying from an accidental overdose at age 47 in 1969. I hope this is good for two reasons. Number one, Renee Zellweger needs a little boost in her career.
And she does.
I've always liked her.
She's talented.
And number two, the Judy Garland story is just tragic all the way around. And I'm interested to see how they tell it.
They did a great miniseries. I think it's with Judy Davis, I think was the actress's name. I'm probably wrong on that. But she did a great job. It is it's inspiring, harrowing, tragic, happy. It has everything you want in a great drama, and that was her life.
When I was a kid, it was an event when they showed Wizard of Oz on TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, it was an absolute, like, everything stopped.
Oh,
popcorn,
yeah.
You know, sleeping bags down from the bedroom in front of the living room TV, an event. So when I found out later on in life, because this is probably in, you know, 1980, right, that she had all these troubles, I was like, that's impossible. Not Dorothy.
She was having troubles back then. I mean, she was when she played Dorothy, she was 51. No, she was a little bit old. They actually bound her up a little bit because she was developed, and they wanted to make her look a little bit more like a younger girl. But you know, I mean, she was drug addicted. She was terrified of performing. She used to have to be hypnotized to go out on stage. But if you want to see her at her just magnificent best, her version of A Star Is Born with James Mason is amazing.
But her voice, just one of the greatest ever.
Are they using Judy Garland? I don't know how you could not use Judy Garland's voice in this case. The way they used Freddie Mercury's actual recordings for, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody. Or maybe they used Freddie Mercury's voice in this. It could be interesting.
Maybe. Wouldn't that be interesting? If yeah.
The hell's going on here?
If he came out and sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Actually, he and Liza Minnelli were very, very close.
Yes, they were.
Believe it or not. All right, let's do the clips, please. Tolkien recreates the life of the famous young writer as he created what would become the classic novels The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. In this clip, Lily Collins admits that she was already a fangirl. Here we go.
The books, when I was in school, were very much a part of the literature of the time. And, of course, when the Peter Jackson movies came out, I would go to the theater and see them. And so to be a part of this story, finally, about the man himself felt quite right. In a way.
I don't think I want to see it.
Tolkien is in theaters now, by the way. I've been watching Lily Collins in the Ted Bundy movie on Netflix.
What do you think?
I've been watching it while I exercise. I was sick over the weekend, so I didn't get to finish watching it. I'm a little over halfway through it. It's okay.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's good. It's worth watching.
Is it?
But it's a different story. It doesn't focus on the crimes per se. It's his relationship with her. And a lot of that stuff.
Do they create their own fraternity because no one else will accept them? Is that the deal?
No, that's old school, right?
Revenge. How's he as Ted Bundy?
He's Zac good. Efron. Yeah, okay. I mean, they're both really good. The story is just, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, though, Press. Why are, because you use the term, I'm watching it, meaning you haven't finished it yet. Why haven't you finished it yet?
Because I'm watching it just when I exercise.
Just when, okay.
When I'm doing my cardio.
Because I'm the same way. I've turned it on twice so far, and it's just not capturing me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I've just, because I'll watch it for 30 minutes at a time. Okay. So it's going to take me, you know, three times to finish seeing
it. Is it in front of a live audience? Or is it?
No.
It is. Maybe that three helps. Camera yeah. in front of a live audience.
Come on.
Thing. So, all right, anyway.
I'm going to go out and kill somebody.
Next clip. Here we go. In the new movie Palms, a woman who moves into a retirement home convinces her new friends to start a cheerleading squad. Here, Diane Keaton describes the struggles that she experienced on the set.
We have a choreographer. I, of course, needed extra help, but everybody else seemed to be doing quite fine. You know, you start to see your body and the way it moves, and I would compare my body to my other lady friends and actresses in the film, and let's just say that my legs have no muscle.
Thing sucks.
Palms is in theaters now, by the way.
I love Diane Keaton.
I do too.
Oh, me too.
That's what I have for you in the entertainment report. Man, do we have a lot going on today. We have a number of guests who are going to be on the program. We're going to talk to Joan Jett this morning. MM Barbecue is less than a week away. It's this coming Saturday. Joan is one of the headliners. So she and producer Kenny Laguna, who's also a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, will be joining us today. We will have Robert Irvine swinging by for a minute or two. He's got the third annual Beats and Eats tonight at the Fillmore. It's sold out. But we'll spend some time with Robert anyway. Our friend, United States Senator Chris Coons, is in town, so he's going to stop by and say hello. And we just got the President Steve Coolest Teacher voting underway. The first high school chosen today, Marion Mercy Academy. And if you have a favorite teacher, let us know about it. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 239333. You have to do it that way. It's on our website. It's on our social media if you need that information. And also, we have a screening of John Wick Chapter 3,
yes,
which is tomorrow night at the UA King of Prussia at 7:30. I would like to take five callers and allow you passage into that screening. You need to be there by 7 o'clock, 215-263-WMMR. You said the reviews are raves, right?
98% on Rotten Tomatoes. They're calling it high art.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get you on board for that. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. A Monday morning in all its glory. Word of the week prize this week, by the way, six-pack of pit tickets for the MM Barbecue. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Morton with Chester Bennington. The Glorious Sons.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Coolest teacher, high school. First school name that we've chosen is Marion Mercy Academy. So text in the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name, who's been the coolest teacher. But I didn't know that Seymour Butts was a teacher there.
Seymour Butts?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. My God, Mr. Butts. Mr. Butts Opus. You remember that movie?
You think an adult sent that over?
Yes.
That we...
I do.
That they actually might think that we've never heard... That one before, or every single one of those that are in existence.
Emerson Biggins?
Yeah. There's a couple of them out there. Wilma Fingerdew.
Wilma Fingerdew is a great teacher.
Meanwhile, you know that person is cracking up that you read that. I know.
All right, anyhow, last second shot put the Sixers season to an end, and the way that it ended was... Like Casey, like you were saying, like a movie, the ball bounced four times on the rim before it went in.
It was torturous, insane, yeah. Horrific, and amazing. You can't argue that point.
Yeah,
just a flood of emotions.
Well, so I had tweeted that it was like the best ending of a sports non movie like I had ever seen, and then Adam McKay said on Twitter that if we would have ended a movie like that where, you know, the ball bounced four times off the rim and then went in for a win, and he goes, that would have been cheesy.
It would have been convincing, a hackneyed ending.
Of course.
Well,
yeah.
I was trying to think of movies that do have that moment. I think Hoosiers is like that.
I think so.
Does Hoosiers have it?
I think Hoosiers bounces around on the rim before it goes in. I want to say that maybe
Teen Wolf
did as well.
Of course, so. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of other movies that have that moment that drives you crazy,
yeah.
Where it's just, you know.
That doesn't happen.
And then,
there you go.
It
yeah. When it went up and bounced off the rim, I was like, oh, that's going in. In my head, I was like, that's going in.
But did you ever see, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, by all means.
Now I'm trying to think of other movies that have that. There was a movie with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell. It was a football movie.
Best of Times. Uh-huh.
And he's going in to claim glory and redeem himself for this mistake he made as a high school football player. And the ball, and he had dropped the ball at a pivotal moment. And at the end there, not only does he kind of fumble it around, it goes behind him.
Yeah.
And I hate that. It just drives me crazy.
It's annoying, but apparently it's real. It's real. So of all the movies and all the different sports movies, basketball lends itself to that, I think, the most, with the bounce up and bounce on the rim.
Yeah.
Football to some extent as well. Hockey, not so much, right?
Yeah.
Either it's going in or it's not.
How did Youngblood end?
I'll tell you exactly how Youngblood ended. It ended with a penalty shot.
That's it. And he does that little
you remember
circle.
He comes up and he kicks the puck with his rear skate to get it started and he dekes him out and puts it in. And that was right after he got in a fight and redeemed himself against the the main enforcer that had his number all that year.
So there have been 145 game sevens in NBA playoff history. This was the first time that a team lost at a buzzer beater.
Seriously?
Good for us.
Yep. This is the first time.
What a great stat. Isn't that cool?
Oh, man.
I mean, it'd be a lot cooler if we were the game winning team, but.
Here's somebody text in Caddyshack. Has that moment at the end where the ball sits on the edge of the hole for a long time, and the explosions eventually knock that in.
Have you ever seen, didn't Tiger himself have a shot that was similar that stayed on the rim for a second?
Yeah. Yep.
And went in?
Yep, absolutely.
For a game winner?
Wait.
It wasn't a game.
Boom. It wasn't the final putt of the outing or of the tournament, but he's definitely had that before where you wait, and boom, and it fell in.
And his was perfect. It was like the Nike logo was right there on the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they couldn't have created a more perfect commercial.
Here, somebody say, a few people are saying this is karma for the double doink.
Yeah. Exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
This past season.
Because that one went our way.
Yeah. This was the quad.
Yeah.
And it went in.
I think in the Mighty Ducks, it like hits the crossbar. And it like goes really,
oh, really?
Slow-mo, hits the crossbar, and then drops on the ice.
All right. A lot of people say that's the most accurate sports movie ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think is worse then? The cheesy game-winning, slow motion shot, or the one where you think it's going to be a game winner and then they drop it or they miss.
I tend to like I do think it's cheesy when it's bunk, 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 it's so in football, like in the longest yard, where the clock runs out and they're making the run and he's in the air and, getting thrown across a couple of guys and makes it into the end zone. I'm okay with that. Sometimes it's like, go in already.
I like the winning, though. I don't know. To me,
so like
it's
when Dottie Henson
movie.
Drops the ball at the end of League of Their Own, somebody
like
wins.
I know, but they didn't.
Yeah.
The Replacements, there's a good one because the guy goes up. It looks like it's going to be out of his reach. He gets it in one hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you think he's going to drop it, and then he just puts the other one on top of it. Bang! Got it. That's a good ending as well.
Listen, and we're just suckers for that sort of stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it could have happened in real life, man. And whatever.
It was torturous.
And Steve wasn't... Joel Embiid, wasn't he crying?
He was crying.
Yes.
He was crying. Yeah. It was legitimate. I mean,
he composed himself for the press conference afterwards, but when he walked off, like through that tunnel, he had tears.
And when his girlfriend came up to him, did you see that?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
So he broke down again. Yeah.
You know what it bugs me about that is the picture of him crying is going to be like a meme for a long time.
Because
you saw what they did with Michael Jordan crying, and
this is the audio.
That's Brad trying to calm him down. His voice does go higher when he cries.
But I've seen screenshots of it, and he's like, he's got this face like, duh.
Oh no,
Listen.
Well, I think today is okay to do the meme.
But you know what's going to happen is it's going to to Casey's point it's going to be all over the place. And whenever you lose, it's like when remember the girl the flute, was she playing the flute?
Yeah.
Oh, Piccolo.
Piccolo girl. Right. How long did that stick around?
Yeah.
Case, it's almost the face.
I know.
That you made.
It's close. Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, the Eddie Vedder face. Oh, man.
And it would be so much better if it was a player on another team.
Yeah.
But
that's all right. That had to have been emotional for them.
I couldn't believe it.
Are you?
I could not believe that's how the game ended last night.
Would you say he's an ugly crier?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Are you an ugly crier?
Probably. No. And I was thinking about this the other day. Like, why? You can't cry in front of people. Like, it's embarrassing. I remember, after my father had died, and that's fine, I was in Mass, and during the homily, the priest was saying, and this wasn't at the funeral, this is just a regular Mass, and whatever the message he was like directly associated with what I was going through emotionally, and I started losing it. I was like, oh my God. And I had to leave my pew, Because I was embarrassed. I was like, "Why? You know, why is this clown crying?"
Well, because you're pew. I think it's natural because you're out of control. You've been overtaken.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You don't have control over what your body is doing right then and there, and it's a little embarrassing. It was if you were to crap yourself, the same thing. You'd probably get up and leave.
Crying and crapping are just inches away the emotional scale.
You no longer have control of yourself.
I need a
you
good crap.
Yes. To see that.
But at least with crapping yourself, you can kind of blame the person next to you for the stink. You know, like, oh my God, whatever. This person just crapped.
That'll only go for a few seconds until you start to see stainage.
Yeah. When they see the trail behind you as you're walking away.
Well, you can't blame crying on someone else.
Generally, it would be diarrhea if you grabbed yourself.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I guess you're right.
Speaking of which, I had that this weekend. Oh, lovely.
Yay. Did you cry?
No, there were no tears.
There's no liquid left in your eyes, right?
Oh, my God.
You got this thing that's going around that's just wiping out everyone. I pray to dear God I don't get it.
A lot
of people are getting it.
You've got it going through your house right now, Kath, right? Nick Murphy had it. Nick McElwain is not here today. He says he has it. So I don't, you know, it was all day yesterday. And on Mother's Day.
So how did that play at home? I know your wife is incredibly understanding. And when a geyser of diarrhea is blowing out of your butt, it's hard to say you're making it up, but still
the kids didn't pick up the slack though. They need to be motivated to be reminded about things like this, and I was just not in the mood to do it, and I just was out of it, and Shell was not happy, and it was not a good Mother's Day.
Do you have to have a postponed Mother's Day then?
I think we're gonna have to.
Yeah,
I think I thought about that this morning, but we're gonna have to do something because we missed out on
What's your poop date for Mother's Day?
The brown date is I don't know. We'll have to listen. The next few weeks are,
you know what, Preston?
Booked solid.
Take her to the barbecue.
Yeah, right. Honey, I got this really special date.
I got you tickets.
Hey, tickets to a concert. She can give you all the attention in the world the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, my lovely wife is here.
Yeah. It was terrible. It was hard. I just felt miserable all day yesterday.
Vomiting as well or no?
No, just exit.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that to happen, but it was just headed out the back door.
Nick Murphy, were you vomiting?
He said the first day he was puking on that, but stuff's going around. And with the Sixers loss last night, it's only insult to injury.
So, yeah. What are you going to do, though? You know, it's life. Diarrhea and tears. Mm-hmm. It's all part of life. isn't that a heart song? Diarrhea and tears.
Yeah, it was a follow-up to Dog and Butterfly.
Dog and Butterfly, diarrhea and tears.
What were you going to say, Case?
No, I just don't throw up. In my entire life, not counting...
You're not going to tell us that in your entire life you've never thrown up.
In my entire life, I'm not including...
When you were a baby.
No, I don't know. I don't know when I was a baby. So let's just say from 5 years old until the present day, not including hangover pukes, because I actually never threw up from drinking.
I threw up from being hungover?
Being hungover. Okay. Not counting hangover throw-ups. I've only thrown up 3 times.
What? I find that hard to believe.
Uh-uh.
That is...
Do you keep a puke journal?
Because it's in a
diary. You just know. I mean, so from the
That's from sickness?
Yeah, from the time I started school. Steve, from kindergarten to eighth grade, I missed 1 day of school. Kindergarten to eighth grade, 1 day of school.
Yeah, you had almost perfect attendance.
Almost. So close, man.
I wonder if anybody listening has never, I mean, outside of baby, but to their knowledge, has never thrown up. I would find that hard,
I think,
to believe.
Yeah, at some point, your body has to expel. So I tend to, the ones that impact me the most are those, vomiting and diarrhea. Those are the ones, a regular flu or like, you know, anything that extracts the electrolytes from your body that just wears you down, that's what really does me in.
Because you get fatigue on top of it.
Incredible fatigue.
I had all fatigue all day yesterday. And the day before, I had run a 5K, which I'm sure I was sick then, too. But
let me ask you something, and you can be honest.
Sure.
Had you purchased a Mother's Day gift yet?
Yeah.
Trying to get out of it.
No. We had kids. Yeah, okay. I mean, there was that.
It's all good to go.
I just couldn't help out making the meal.
Yeah, and the whole thing that you want to do. Yes.
She's not supposed to do anything all day.
I know. She ended up doing everything.
Yeah. Oh, how was the 5K?
It was awesome. It was phenomenal. Thank you for asking. Which, oddly enough, is for IBD research. Here's me crapping my brains out yesterday. But it was a Mother's Wish 5K, and it would, the weather was absolutely beautiful on Saturday, at least the early portion of
it. For running, it was optimum.
Yeah, so we had a good 450-some-odd people out there for it. First-time event for them, so.
Fortunately, it was Saturday.
Yes.
Yesterday was terrible.
Horrible.
And it was a good day for staying inside and crapping.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I went out to Oxford, Pennsylvania on Saturday to buy flowers. From the Amish, like, you know, I guess apparently it's so much cheaper. A friend of mine lives out there, and or she did. She grew up out there. She lives around here now. And we traveled out there just to buy flowers. But it was, I probably spent half the amount of money that I spent last year buying it from Lowe's and Home Depot.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Amish flowers are cheaper?
Oh, yep.
And how much did you spend in gas?
Well, that's what we were trying to figure out. It was definitely worth the hour drive.
All right.
You ever go to Produce Junction?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they have pretty good prices.
I want to switch gears. I want to go back to these people that are calling in about puking. I'm going to go to Margaret. Hi, Margaret. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Margaret. So, Casey was saying in his life, other than not remembering the years of being a baby, he's only thrown up three times. How about you?
Okay, so the last time I threw up was when I was pregnant with my son. It was an unfortunate visit to Taco Bell at 11 o'clock at night, which I will not expand upon. Mm-hmm. But since then, I have never thrown up.
How many years ago was that?
That was, oh my gosh, 1986.
1986.
Oh my gosh!
The exact year you last threw up?
Well, this is when she was pregnant with her son.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Over 30 years.
Yes. And he is an avid listener. His name is Mike McGowan.
All right.
He listens to you guys from Oregon on a podcast every day.
That's cool. Oh. Mike, how does it feel knowing that you made your mom vomit? The only time she's vomited in her life.
Jeez.
That's pretty amazing, Margaret. Consider yourself lucky then, all right?
Yes.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
I wonder if there's
it.
A little special page in the scrapbook for that one.
I guess, kind of like the movie Unbreakable, you know, if there's
people Unvomitable?
Like, no, but if there's people like me and Margaret who just don't throw up.
You're then, superheroes.
Then you have somebody like Nick who throws up a couple of times a year.
He throws up a lot.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh, I told you guys my buddy Danny used to puke all the time. Sometimes I would take my shoes off just to watch him puke because the smell of the shoes would make him vomit. He had a hair trigger vomit.
Was he a contact puker too? If he saw someone puke, would he puke? Like
anything would make him
anything.
Vomit. And he would also, but he was also, I mean, he partied to excess as well. So when he would puke from like drinking too much or something like that. It's called boot and rally.
Right.
So he would puke and then start drinking again.
He was cleaning the system out.
It's insane.
I will do everything possible not to puke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just can't help it. But like last time when I had that food poisoning, it just kept coming up. And it's like
there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Now, I'll just say, F it, I'm going to massage it along and I'll do the fingers down the throat. Let's get going.
Let's get it moving.
Showtime. Yeah, I'm like Bob Fosse and all that jazz. Showtime.
If it was from too much consumption and the whole spinning thing started happening, I'm like, let's get this moving.
Because, yes, the sooner you get into it, the sooner you're out of it.
I would induce it. Let me get a couple of these texts real quick. Marissa pulled up here. Very similar to Casey, this says, last time I threw up was in sixth grade and I'm turning 62.
Oh wow. Holy hell.
In a couple of months. Someone says, last time I vomited was 1995. Prior to that, I can count three times back to elementary school. That's from Al. Another one says, my 18-year-old son has thrown up once in his life, almost never as a baby as well. Wow.
I don't know what happened as a baby, but I've done my fair share of puking.
Last time I puked was after our Pringles bowl. After the Super Bowl, and I think I helped it out a little bit because I was definitely full of Pringles. Because
you were slamming wine and Pringles?
Yes, it was definitely the Pringles that did it. Yeah.
Wow. That was all different colors, too.
Let me go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Good morning.
Hey, bitches. I'm the one that can't be loud.
It's okay. What's up, Michelle?
So I'm 48, and the last time I threw up was the weekend that my grandmother was having her funeral. I must have been seven.
You were seven years old.
She's 62.
And that's the only time you remember that. Wow. And were you sick? Was it something you ate? Did you come down with something? Were you just upset because you were at a funeral?
So my mom took me out and I got a cheesesteak, some chips and I was just eating like crazy. So I threw up because I had too much in my stomach.
Okay.
Oh.
In your tum-tum.
That can happen.
So I'm 48. So my son is 13. And the last time he threw up, he projectile vomited probably when he was a year and a half.
Okay.
That's it.
And that was it.
And that's it. And he's had one ear infection his whole life.
So he's hardly been sick ever.
And
well.
News of that ear infection made him throw up.
Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it. So that is kind of like the Bruce Willis character in Unbreakable. How many times have you ever been sick in your life?
I've never.
And
I'm here to tell you, you're a superhero.
Yeah.
No diarrhea. You've never had diarrhea.
I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Good. What's your story, man? Good.
Well, the last time I threw up, I was in sixth grade.
What year was that?
1960. I'm getting ready to turn 62. So.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, like, you were 12 years old, so 50 years.
Like 11, so... Yeah, 51 years since I threw up.
And what was that? Were you what triggered?
Flu or something? Flu illness or flu?
Oh, was it because all the cool kids were doing it
back in the 60s?
Yeah. I want to fit in.
That's crazy, Brian. That's
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
I tell people that sometimes. Everybody's like, "You got to be kidding me!" I'm like, "No, man. I forgot what it's like to throw up."
Because of that, do they call you first if there's a dangerous situation? They'll send you in because you don't throw up because they figure you're imbued with these special capabilities.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. You know, having had food poisoning twice, I think my system is more inclined to go to. Vomiting. Like if it's a stomach virus, I can't fight it. I'm going down.
Here's Zach says, I wonder how many people may throw up with you talking about throwing up right now.
Yeah.
But some people are contact vomiters, like my friend Danny, who if you see somebody, when I was a kid, I was that way. I remember standing in line at, I think it was in like fourth or fifth grade, and some kid just puked all over the floor and I contact vomited. I couldn't help it. It smelled and it was just nasty.
It's horrible. That's why in school when they would descend on the... Because kids tend to be very vomit reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So when the kid would vomit in the hallway, like the squad would come running... Like Logan's Run Press, they'd come running and spray that stuff down.
Yep.
And get wood chips, whatever it was, whatever they had, the like chemicals to cover it. Yep. Because, man, you'd see them fall fast and furiously.
Here's some text coming in that says, vomit 3 since 93.
Wow.
Another one says, haven't thrown up since 1970. I was in fifth grade, threw up in school. It jaded me for the rest of my life for any throwing up. Had two kids, nauseous as a dog, but no puking. Another one says, I am 55-year-old woman. I had many drunken nights and one child, and I've never puked in my entire life.
The hell?
That's just... Wow. Okay. I guess some people just have.
Or maybe was the trauma so pronounced that you forgot it.
You learned something. You've
suppressed those memories.
Yeah. But I wonder though if that's any indication
of superheroes.
No, of a strong immune system or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think you could be shot in the stomach and it wouldn't do anything?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should try it. Make
that... shoot me in the face. That's how confident I am.
I don't throw up. Shoot me in the face.
Well,
you know how many times he's reported on Bizarre File stories of people have done stupid.
I thought I was going to get there this weekend. I had if you're just tuning in, I had this whatever this intestinal thing is going around, but it only came out the back end, and I was laid up with it all day yesterday. But the night before Saturday night, I did not get a good night's sleep because I was telling you guys, I felt full. I felt like I had drank a lot of liquid, and the bitch of it was I kept waking up with cotton mouth, really dry mouth, and I would take little sips of water, but I didn't want to take too much because I already felt really full, and I thought for sure that I was going to vomit, and I did not.
I hate that feeling.
Peed out of my butt.
Yes. Dry cotton mouth. One time I woke up with Cotton Club, and I was an incredible dancer for a little while.
Wow.
And then, but it was just bizarre. But that, will you, and then if you drink, it's going to make you vomit.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a no-win situation.
So multiple people that this thing is making the rounds right now. Nick Murphy was out for 3 days last week. Nick's out today. I was almost out today.
I'm putting on hand sanitizers.
Kathy's got it going through her house as well. So.
Not me, man. I licked Nick's keyboard last week. I said, bring it on.
Bitch.
Yeah.
But I was out and about this weekend shaking hands, taking pictures, doing all kinds of stuff.
Good luck to everyone.
I was at events, I know, I spread it all over the place.
And a lot of times, we're only too glad to do it. People come up and have you lick their babies.
Sure. I mean, it's rude not to. So just a heads up on that in case you're starting to feel a little peaked. Real quick, I want to do a shout out, if you don't mind.
Well, it seems appropriate.
This won't be me actually, crapping on the mic. Steve has a sound effect.
Did warn us earlier that if you had to bolt out of the studio, that's what that's about.
You never know. I might, because it's one of those where it's like, I think it's gas and whoop, no, it's not. I fell down the stairs yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Because one of my kids was in the main floor bathroom, and I had to run up the steps, and I lost my footing. And I had my laptop with me because I'm like, I'm going to be in there for a while. I'm going to take some entertainment along with me. And I fell, and I dropped my laptop, and it fell. This is me.
Did you crap yourself down?
No, I didn't. But, my family's down in the living room. One of them is in the bathroom. And you just hear, boom, God damn it. I'm just screaming. This is Mother's Day morning.
Yeah.
I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. And my way, are you okay? And I'm like, they didn't even say anything. It just grunted. All right, anyhow.
All right, we're ready for the shard out.
This is a shard out. It says, hi, this is Lieutenant Thomas Gauss, G-A-U-S, from the HSM 46 Grandmasters. My helicopter squadron is deployed overseas with the Lincoln Carrier Strike Group on USS Bainbridge. And I was hoping you could give my mom, Mary Gauss, a Mother's Day shout out. We're going to give her a shard out.
Yes. Yeah.
She's a huge fan and longtime listener, along with the rest of my family, and I'd really appreciate it. Very respectfully, Lieutenant Thomas Bixby Gauss. So we are happy to do that. So here's a shout out for Mom, and hopefully all moms had a great Mother's Day. I really hope it went well for you, despite the really lousy weather and maybe somebody crapping in your house all day long because of the sicknesses going around.
But maybe that's your Mother's Day tradition, that someone gets diarrhea.
But I do hope you had a good Mother's Day. Let's take a break and come back in a moment or two. I got some bizarre file stories that I collected from the course of the weekend. We have United States Senator Chris Coons from the great state of Delaware, who's going to be stopping by. A few other guests on the program today, which I'll tell you about in a little bit, but we'll return shortly. Stay with us.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy, I was just looking across the console and I saw Preston almost as if Jesus was talking to him silently. He had this very, very consumed look on his face, and I thought, oh, I know what that might be about.
Yeah, I had rumbling in the lower end of my bowels. And so if you're just tuning in, I had a horrible case of intestinal issues yesterday.
The thing that's going around that's crippling everybody,
I felt that rumbling. I'm like, oh, man, the break's just starting. You're kidding me. Am I going to have to leave now? And I'm like, all right, let me try and squeak this out and just see if it's safe. Fortunately, it was safe. So, it was one of those. Those little itty-bitty ones, but it could have been followed by... or just a splash.
Yeah, they explode. Listen.
So anyway.
People deal with it on a daily basis.
And, that was a close one.
Thank God it was no issue for
that
you.
That was a close one.
Casey has an appearance he wants to make. Today?
Yes. Did you know that today is X-Men Day?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, and I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't know that. I love the X-Men.
Yes, so I am going to be celebrating X-Men Day at Brave New World Comics.
I love Brave New World.
Yeah, so this one is actually at South 2nd Street in Old City.
Yeah, there's two locations. The other one, I think, is in Jenkintown.
Yes.
It used to be.
Where is it now?
Well, that's the one I used to go to, and then I think George was the guy who owns it. He moved it. Somebody look it up.
Yeah, yeah, I believe there are two locations. Yeah.
Well, I will guarantee you that I'm at the
Willow
location.
Willow Grove is where it is. Okay.
All right, I'll be at the location in Old City, though. So it's 55 South 2nd Street in Old City.
Nice.
I will be there from 6 to 8 tonight. There's going to be some local comic book influencers. We're going to have the first 100 people through the door are going to receive an X-Men Day prize pack. There will be 500 exclusive limited edition Dark Phoenix posters.
Nice.
There's going to be an X-Men costume contest with a grand prize of a signed Days of Future Past poster.
Show up as non-puker.
Yeah. There's going to be a trivia contest that is hosted by me. I don't know if I have to come up with the questions.
You know what? Just contact Craig Ledons.
Yeah. Craig, can you send me a whole bunch of trivia questions? They're going to have some Philly soft pretzels with that are in the X.
Which is what X-Men eat.
That's right. Yeah. So it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be off the hook, off the chain, tonight, 6 to 8, Brave New Worlds in Old City.
You don't want to kick this one to the curb.
No way.
No, it's all that in a bag of chips.
I'll tell you that.
That would be whack if you kick that to the curb.
No, I used to go to Brave New World in Jenkintown all the time when we worked at DRE.
It's great.
And they would pull all the X-Men titles for me. And
kidding.
Yeah, every week I'd have all the brand new comics ready to go. That's when I was really deep into comic books.
And I'll tell you this. I've purchased my fair share of figures from Brave New Worlds.
Nice. So enjoy, Case. Have a good time.
Oh.
All right. We should do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Our B-File this morning is brought to you by Dietz & Watson Real Philly Deli. If you want a real Philly hoagie, you got to go to a real Philly deli. Dietz & Watson created the Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide, your map to the most delicious hoagies in the city. Earn prizes like T-shirts, coolers, food, and even tickets to see the birds play just for eating real Philly hoagies. We will start in Florida with a Florida man, of course. Mm. He's one of the X-Men, I think.
Absolutely.
Video released by Florida Highway Patrol shows a man driving westbound on Interstate 4 while sitting on top of his sunroof.
This is the most insane footage. And he's like Kate Winslet in Titanic.
I was having a hard time understanding how he was able to do this. It's explained in the story.
Right.
Police arrested Leonard Olson, who's 70 years old, by the way, after an off-duty sheriff's deputy recorded video of the man's actions and notified the Florida Highway Patrol. While following the driver, the off-duty deputy says the vehicle, driven by Olson, was going more than 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Then suddenly slowed down to 40. And at one point, the off-duty deputy observed the driver stand up and sit on his open sunroof while the vehicle was still traveling on the interstate. So he's sitting. His butt is actually up on the roof of the car.
Wow. Did the car have autonomous driving?
Nope, but I'll explain.
Yeah.
Troopers pulled over Olson. Asked him about reports of him sitting on top of his sunroof while traveling down the freeway. Olson initially said he didn't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. Olson then told deputies that he wanted to turn himself in. When asked why, the arrest report claims Olson stated that, quote, "My wife treats me like a servant and she's the mistress and I'm tired of this S." Olson then stated that he would rather go to jail than go back home. Damn. So he was taken into custody. Now, troopers say they then showed Olson a video of him sitting on top of the sunroof while the vehicle was in motion. The incident report says Olson then admitted that it was him, and he stated that his vehicle was on cruise control at the time. So he must have been steering with his feet.
Probably.
And he had the cruise control.
That's the safe way to do it.
Taken over for him. So he said the car drives itself and had a gigantic computer in it.
Oh. I just asked a computer to drive for me.
Olson added, "I thought it would be a nice way to praise God for a minute.
To meet him in person.
And I thought that it would be nice at the time, and that's what I did."
Aw. Yep. He seems like he's got it all together.
Story of this Florida man. Yep.
Florida man. Florida man.
Olson was charged with reckless driving, by the way.
So. Seems like the whole wife thing was just an after the fact.
I don't know. A perplexing riddle affecting dozens of families in the Cleveland area has finally been solved, but not before weeks of wreaking havoc on people who, bizarre as it sounds, were unable to open their car and garage doors. In late April, residents of the town of North Olmsted, Ohio, began finding that their wireless car key fobs and garage door openers had simply ceased to function or worked unpredictably when they did work at all. Sometimes it would be one of a pair of remote key fobs that wouldn't work, while The other one did. At other times, car doors could be opened wirelessly when parked in other places, but if the vehicle returned to North Olmsted, the locked doors became inert once more. While dozens of neighbors across multiple nearby streets all reported the same phenomenon, nobody knew what was causing the widespread malfunction. Some suggested that it might relate to goings-on at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, or even a technological hazard related to a NASA research center in the area. Others, including city officials, suggested the malfunction might be related to telecommunications, electricity providers, who dispatched their own crews to investigate whether whatever could be jamming the residents' radio transmitters. Now, the culprit, it turns out, was a homemade device invented by a local electronics enthusiast. He designed a specialized gadget to inform him if anybody was upstairs in his house when he was working downstairs in the basement.
And it was jamming all those other devices?
Yeah, an official said he has a fascination with electronics. They described the anonymous local inventor as an individual with special needs who had no idea of the harm he was causing in the wider community.
Oh, boy.
Simply due to the radio frequency his gadget continuously operated on. The way he designed it, it was persistently putting out 350 megahertz signal, and there was no malicious intent of the device. That constant broadcast effectively jammed the radio signal for radio devices installed in car doors and garage doors, which frequently operated the 350 megahertz to 433 megahertz radio band.
It also allowed him to control Bigfoot, right?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
We can't rule that out. The home-invented gadget has now been identified and disabled. There will be no further interference generated by it, and the resident has agreed to not make such devices in the future. So it was just a misunderstanding. But
all things concerned, that's pretty clever on his part, though.
Yeah, everybody was weirded out by it.
Yeah.
The Reserve Bank of Australia have introduced Australia's new $50 bill. It came out last October. Well, it's been discovered to contain a typo on it.
Oh, man.
One side of the bill depicts Edith Cowan, the first woman to serve in Australia's parliament. It also features microtext from her first ever speech to Western Australian Parliament, which is where the typo comes in. It says, "It is with great responsibility to be the only woman here, and I want to emphasize the necessity which exists for other women being here." The word responsibility is spelled incorrectly.
Oh, no.
The mispronunciation, fortunately, it occurs three times on the note, and fortunately, there's only 46 million bills containing the typo that are in circulation.
So that chunk of the speech is contained on the bill, but it's written in, you said, like microtext?
Microtext, but right. It's written three times on the note, and so each time it is misspelled. 46 million bills contain the typo.
It's astonishing. You would figure that something like that would be vetted a little bit better.
Yep. A large perfume theft from a beauty supply store led to a chase and the arrest of two female suspects on Tuesday. Two women were in jail, charged with strong-armed robbery, along with other charges for stealing perfume and resisting arrest. Police say the two women walked into the Ulta Beauty store before 11 a.m. Tuesday and stole $3,600 worth of perfume.
Jeez!
They cleared out several shelves of high-end perfume. Some clerks tried to stop them, but quickly stepped back when they got worried for their own safety. And that's why they're charged with strong-armed robbery. Undercover police later spotted the two driving in a car that had an article of clothing blocking the rear license plate, just as a witness had described the initial calls to police. The covering was determined to be a pair of panties as the police began to follow the car and sped away. So, yeah. So they actually covered up the license plate with panties.
Sure, that'll work.
On purpose, and they left them there, so it stood out fairly well.
It's illegal to keep panties on your license plate, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. It sped away. The car unsuccessfully tried to jump some railroad tracks.
All for perfume theft?
Yeah, their vehicle was disabled. All four tires were flattened because they tried to drive over the tracks. The suspect did not know that they had turned down a street that dead-ended onto the tracks. And all the stolen property was recovered. The two women got out and ran, but were promptly arrested afterwards.
So listen, busted. We're fans of Ulta. They have the most wonderful bathroom you could possibly imagine.
We used it for years at the Camp Out for Hunger when we were at the Metroplex. Yeah, so love Ulta.
Have you seen, in relationship to this story and stopping vehicles like that, have you seen the OnStar commercials that they run where the car gets stolen and the OnStar will remotely shut the car off?
No.
Yeah, it's a big thing that they're pushing. Have you seen those commercials?
Yeah, in fact, I think I talked about the one commercial because it looks like the kid's about to get hit by a car that's in pursuit because it was stolen.
Right.
And then just as the car's about to, like, run this kid over,
they disable the car.
It shuts off. Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yep. All right, and that is what I have for you. B-File wise this morning. A reminder that we have started the President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year competition, and the high school that was chosen first off this year is Marion Mercy Academy. So if you go to school there, we want to hear from students. All you have to do is text the word teacher in the space followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We will give you roughly 24 hours to do that. We'll find out who the winner is. And tomorrow morning, we will give them a prize. We've got the Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug and a $50 What a Crock Meals gift card to give to them. And, of course, it's all about the thank you. They'll appreciate
yes.
that more than anything.
We'd love to do more, but, you know, what we figure a good crockpot meal gets it done, right?
It does.
Dude, yeah. They're delicious.
They're yeah. delicious.
All right, so get on that. Teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 239333. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't forget, Joan Jett is going to be giving us a call this morning in anticipation of her appearance at the MMRBQ this weekend. Another guest, too. We'll be right back.
The President and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I get to this email before I forget about it, but we got this emails from a guy who emails regularly. Believe it or not, his name is Harry Wood. Harry's emailed several times. He says, hey, I'm suffering from an earworm situation. I heard your delightful new jingle for the people at Subaru.
Yes.
Which, thank you to Shoes. That's the name of our imaging director.
He's great.
Who put that together, and it was perfect. But Harry says, it got me to think of your previous jingles that you made for the show from ages past. In particular, the Preston and Steve Know the Show contest jingle, which, by the way, I missed that game.
Yeah.
I want to do that again sometime.
We should.
He said, I remember almost every lyric of the song except for one for Casey. Could you please dust off that chestnut of a ditty soon for old time's sake, or maybe play the game again? Thank you kindly, Harry Wood. And I tried to do a mental check and remember, and I couldn't remember either.
Me neither.
I remember Kathy can't go to bed if there's anything left on the floor. Preston eats his own scabs. But
Steve,
I don't remember.
Cub Scouts in the basement or something like that?
Yeah, and Nick's feminine.
Yeah.
But Casey?
I couldn't remember either.
I don't remember. Do we have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
You guys should get married.
Yeah.
All right, here call me. Preston and Steve present Know the Show on WMMR. Kathy can't go to bed at night if there's anything on the floor. And Steve's got a bunch of Cub Scouts buried in the dirt behind his cellar door. Nick's effeminate. Marissa likes getting text messages with naked pictures attached. Casey boy squeezes bus out of his armpits, and Preston likes eating his own scabs.
And there it is.
There you go.
And
there
it is. Casey squeezes pus out of his armpit.
He used to have a pus secreting anomaly under his armpit.
Had it taken care of.
Yes.
What did they do with that? They just remove it?
They put it on his forehead.
watch this.
Yeah, they like burn it or something like that. I mean, I had to go to.
That's the medical term?
Yeah. Well,
cauterize it.
Quarterize it, burn it, So that and then,
but they cut it out, right?
They cut it out, burn it out, or did whatever to it, so it's gone. And then I get like a call. I don't even know, like 2 or 3 weeks later, saying, "Okay, it's clear. We did the biopsy." And I'm like, "You were doing a biopsy on that thing? I had no clue."
Anytime they remove anything from your body, they do.
They always do.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So
every time you get a haircut, they do a biopsy on the other.
A lot of people don't know that.
The medical hair salon.
Even by the way, there's nothing they can tell at all from your hair. They do it anyway. Yeah. What's that?
No. Speaking of haircuts, my PennDOT thing came in. I can get my license picture like anytime now.
Oh, okay. So Casey's been growing his hair out specifically to get a new driver's license photo done. Do you know what you want to do yet?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I had an idea of what I wanted to do, and now I'm kind of getting attached to my long hair. So what I wanted to do required me to shave a part of the hair off. And now I'm kind of getting a little bit attached to it. So I really don't know what I want to do.
Okay. Can you combine? Sorry. Can you combine all of the pictures that you've taken, like do the tooth, do the hair?
Ooh. The mustache.
So somebody showed me their license picture. A friend of mine from where I grew up, she knows what I'm planning on. She just had her picture taken, and it's a new license now. And now they go close up on your face.
So do they? So you don't have the full headshot?
So it's basically almost just your face or whatever.
Is that by now the new state law, or could you pull back a little bit? I mean, they're going to have you stand where they're going to have you stand. No, yeah, you try to keep it uniform.
Because I got mine this summer, and it is a closer picture case.
Is it a white license? Like, is it like the everything?
Well, she is Caucasian.
It does say Caucasian. Yes, yeah. True.
Pull out your license so I can see what it looks like.
The other room.
Okay, never mind. But it, like, I think they changed everything. So it kind of like it changes. Like,
we'll find out
approach now.
If you can, though, I would like to see you glam rocked out the way Preston looked in his earlier.
Pictures,
because you definitely have enough hair to start that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should take a look at the new ones first and see. You got to scope it out. See how the pictures look and then decide what you're going
to
do.
Casey, if you were to do the big, you know, teased out hair glam rock thing, you would have to do like one big dangly earring on just one ear.
A feather?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep.
I'm not half-assing this one. I'm telling you, because the last one, even though it is a little amusing, I kind of half-assed it.
You could be like Michael from
Stranger Things?
No, Lost Boys.
Lost Boys,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Wait.
Michael.
When you look back and you talk it's about it, people don't believe you when you say it, though. Those things, trends go away and then they come back. Mm-hmm. And so that was just the coolest look during that time. And now you bust.
Looking at pictures of the 1970s people with their hair and clothes. Oh, my God.
It might as well be like an 1880 photograph where, you know, where everyone has smiles because it takes a minute and a half to take the picture.
The 70s, the plaid and the paisley and the knee-high athletic socks with the big blue and, you know, stripes and things.
Or the super short men's shorts.
Oh, my God.
I was watching The Love Boat yesterday on MeTV because it's horrible, and I love watching horrible television. Yep. And Christopher Knight, Peter Brady.
Yeah.
His shorts were just a quarter of an inch below sack.
Yep.
It was, I mean, ridiculously hot.
Well, they're shrinking now again.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to avoid that trend.
Are they starting to happen,
yeah,
really?
Shorts are coming, especially bathing suits, are coming up just a little bit.
Because in the 90s and into the 2000s, below the knee is where your shorts would hang, and it's coming up
now
a little bit.
Now it's maybe...
Not quite mid-thigh?
Not quite mid-thigh. Maybe like three-quarter thigh.
I like below the knee. Knee range, I think, is better. You feel too bound up when they're, you know, short shorts.
I agree.
They're more fitted now. They're, like, less sloppy.
Wait a minute. Somebody texted in and said the one dangly earring is having a comeback right now.
Is it?
Is it? I don't know about
that. You know what? Maybe Stranger Things is bringing this stuff back.
It might.
Because, you know, that the dude who is
the brother.
Yeah.
The stepbrother, the jerk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a rocking mullet, and I don't know if he's got the one earring thing.
I think he does.
It was. So they were selling earrings where one was like a stud and then one was longer. Like the pack of earrings didn't match.
Really?
Yeah, for a little bit. It didn't. I don't think it got much traction. But yeah, like some of the award shows, some of the girls were wearing like one dangly earring.
You know what you should do? You should turn your old licenses into earrings. Casey.
Right? That's a great idea.
They already put a hole in him anyway.
And wear it in the picture. Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
Listen, because I'm open to suggestions, guys.
You know they have however you want to be, that's how they're going to let you be. And now if they're going to come in close on your face, you're going to find out whether you can do the hair thing or not. But
Marissa, where are these pictures housed right now?
This is on PrestonSteve.com. I'm going to share it on all of our sites.
It's Casey's licenses, three of them anyway. Did you do any other ones that were funny, Casey, or has it just been the three?
I think...
There was one more, you couldn't find it, I thought.
I don't even know. I got to do the math here because it had to have been more. It all started accidentally because the background used to be white in these photos. And I wore a white T-shirt, so it looked like I just had a floating head.
Okay.
And the very, very first one was an accidental one.
That's my favorite right here.
The one with the teased out hair.
You know, Aborigine.
My wife did that hair for me. She's the one.
Well, that's why your wife is just awesome.
Yeah. And that's why she's your wife.
Yeah. Well, and she's begging me to do this now because she hates my hair right now.
All right. Well, anyhow, let us know how that goes. Hey, I saw this. Actually, Steve sent this over to me. It's an article about Mother's Day, which was yesterday. But the holidays founder, the person who founded Mother's Day, was their idea in the first place.
Yeah.
Worked so hard to get the world to give moms everywhere a big shout out. But before her death, even she had to admit that she has some regrets about starting Mother's Day in the first place. So long before her death, Jarvis's mom, Ann Reeves Jarvis, and it was Anna Jarvis, I think, was the mother. But or Ann Reeves Jarvis hoped that someone would dedicate a day to honor mothers. When she died in May of 1905, Jarvis set out to do just that. She began campaigning not only for her mom, but for moms everywhere. It started off in her hometown of Grafton, West Virginia, which takes credit for hosting the first official Mother's Day celebration 3 years later at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church. Since then, the church has been dubbed the International Mother's Day Shrine.
Mm.
In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill, recognizing Jarvis's Mother's Day.
Signed this bill today to whatever.
As a national holiday.
Okay.
Jarvis was intentional about the name of her holiday. It's Mother's Day, as in one mom, mother apostrophe S. The way Jarvis put it, Mother's Day is today is a day to honor the best mother who ever lived, yours. But Mother's Day became way more popular than she expected. People today honor any mom-like figure in their lives, apparently, and she didn't. They don't think she would have wanted it.
So by her original design, it would have solely been your mother.
Just your mother.
Not your wife.
Yeah.
Your mother.
That's why it's mother apostrophe S and not without the apostrophe.
She just didn't like that it became commercialized. Like, that was not the point, she said, of
yes.
why she created this.
She couldn't stand the idea of people spending so much money on extravagant flower arrangements, sappy greeting cards, and overly priced chocolates. First, she went after florists, protesting their marketing of the beautiful and ornate carnations. Then her protest escalated to arrest for public disturbances, and she didn't stop there. She went after First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt for using Mother's Day as a way to promote the health and welfare of women and children. While it was true that Jarvis's mother was a community
it's turned dark.
Was a community health advocate, Jarvis still didn't like the association.
I hate it.
Yeah. She died in a sanitarium in 1948, by the way. Yeah, I don't know why she was in a sanitarium.
Well, so listen, I think a large part of this, understanding what I know about history and this woman, she was upset because she didn't get a piece of all that action.
No, really?
No, no, kidding.
She died in 1948. The holiday today that she created today lives on. More people purchase flowers and plants for Mother's Day than any other holiday except Christmas or Hanukkah. This year alone, Americans will spend $25 billion on the holiday.
And isn't Mother's Day the number one day for restaurants as far as, like, even over other holidays, even over Thanksgiving?
It's definitely one of them. Well, yeah, because Thanksgiving is traditionally spent at home. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
But now, like, Mother's Day brunch, people
right?
are going out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I was talking to one of our MM Army girls who is a hostess at a local restaurant in King Prussia, and she said that on Sunday, between graduation and Mother's Day, she had 1,100 reservations.
Whoa!
People that she had to sit.
I ordered flowers for Rochelle from this place called Gennardi Florist. My friend Jerry owns the florist, and his wife Johanna delivered the flowers. She comes walking up to the door. She looked like she needed somebody to euthanize her.
Oh,
I
really?
Mean, she was like, I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning.
Here's your goddamn flower.
Driving around all day.
Wow.
And I felt horrible for her. I mean, for some people, that's the day you work, and you work hard.
Yeah.
As are some other holidays as well, but I felt so bad for her. But it was just one of those days where, and the weather sucked, you know, so it made it worse.
Do you know the second biggest day for restaurants and for flowers? Today, X-Men Day.
No, it's
just huge.
Arrangement I got was gorgeous, and Rochelle loved it, so I was happy with
it. Well, that's why the event I did yesterday with Gottschall's Turkey Bacon was awesome. It really was great. We had it at the Mummers Museum, and breakfast was provided. It was like buffet style. But I have, in years past, done buffet breakfast with my wife and my mom and my kids. And it's like $40 a head, you know what I mean, for like pancakes and, you know, maybe a couple of slices of sausage or whatever. And I think things tend to be overpriced that day.
Sure.
But, I mean, this is how busy it was yesterday. For dinner, I asked my wife what she wanted, and she's like, I just want a sandwich from this little shop around the corner. So I ordered that, and that place was packed. Yeah. I mean, even you know, just regular hoagie places were packed.
Yeah, we picked up Chinese food. So my mom wanted just Chinese food dinner and went to a place nearby her, and it was packed. It was a 45-minute wait just for takeout.
Oof. Man. Did you send your mom something? I'm sure you
did,
right?
Yeah, I sent her some flowers. Yeah, absolutely.
My whole day was weird.
Yeah.
Because my mother showed up.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. She's been dead for decades. Yeah. And we're like, sweet mother of mothers.
We weren't expecting
that's
this.
That's my dead mother.
Oh, my God.
But, no, you know, we had a good time.
Yeah,
that was great to see her.
Yeah, yeah. Catching up.
I said, I remember you was having more skin, but this is still pretty cold.
Oh, dude. God. Yeah.
Wow. Have we talked the picture that have we talked about this on the air yet?
No. Oh, that picture that I found?
That you posted up on Instagram?
Yeah, it's a picture that I never... So my mother passed away when I was 20, so I really didn't have a lot of pictures of my mother, you know? And so there's a picture of her, Preston, when she's, I'm going to guess, later 20s. And I'd never seen before.
I'm looking at it. Where is she in this picture?
The brown dress?
Yeah, from the left over.
Oh, she's in the brown dress.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one that looks like Steve with long hair?
A little, yeah.
Or with hair.
I see the face. Yeah, with hair. Yeah.
And so that's her. And I, you know, I don't ever remember seeing her that young, but it was wild.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, awesome. But to see that, it's weird when you have those connects. So savor your mother, obviously, on Mother's Day.
Well, and just going back real quick about celebrating, you know, anybody who's like a mother figure in your life, I always give my godmother something. So I give her, you know, a card, a gift card, flowers. She always gets something as well.
You're one of those people that's actually stayed in touch with your godmother and know who they are and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Not my godfather.
No.
But my godmother, okay. Yes.
There's Kathy. I never see her.
Yes. You don't call.
You never call upon me. You never say, let's have coffee or tea. It's nothing. You never take me to a Floral and Hardy. You know, but they don't return in response. All the business you give them, you know, what are you going to do, right? You can no decoupage, no nothing, no scrapbooking. It never happens.
Your godfather is...
I'm very upset. I mean, I like arts and crafts just like anybody else.
Kathy, are you the type of person that will send out birthday cards to a lot of different people in your life?
No, I don't do birthday cards.
Okay. Because my mother has everybody's birthdays and anniversaries. Like, for instance, I know that today is my godmother's anniversary. And I know that because that's my mom told me the other day.
Today's our anniversary.
But she, you know, she still uses a written calendar, has it all written down on the calendar, sends everybody.
How annoying.
Like, no. It's, I mean, you got to figure she's got 12 grandchildren.
It's amazing.
All of her great nieces and nephews, they all get birthday cards. Like, she's so good at that.
It's a wonderful thing, Casey. I know that you have that. And I
don't.
I have it.
I don't.
You have it to some extent. And I know, Preston, you probably feel the same way on this. The onus, you feel like this weight when you have to do that. And it's, you love these people and you just...
I think they know that.
Yes. But if you were to send them a little box of chocolates,
I know.
It would really seal the deal.
It's too much for
me.
There's too much. I just listen, and maybe I'm a selfish person. I don't know. But I have a hard time with that. Because it seems like every other week there's another thing, and it's like, man, and I should have known about this 2 weeks ago and gotten this done, and I didn't, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just not good at it.
Well, and also,
not good at it.
Perfect example. You'd made plans. You had things in motion for yesterday, and you were too busy having diarrhea.
Yeah, that too.
Well, now that we're saying is happy birthday, Liz, my friend who I went to Italy with. It is her birthday today, and I just remembered.
So you didn't send her a card. It's easier to just say it on the microphone.
Yeah, just say it on the radio. No, I had an idea for an app that you would put somebody's birthday in the app, and then it would back time, like, you should buy the card today.
So here's what I did on my iPhone on Siri.
Uh-huh.
This year, when we were on break, I went through everybody's birthdays, all anniversaries, all special noted days, and I set reminders for like 2 weeks before those and said, you know, remind me of so-and-so's birthday.
That's very thoughtful.
Remind me that, yeah, well, you know what happened?
You got a new phone.
Well, no, one day... All of them showed up as brand new reminders on one day, and some kind of malfunction happened.
Oh, well.
And it couldn't set, okay, September 15th, you set a reminder to buy gifts for blah, blah, blah. And that came up in February. And I'm like, well, now I got to go back and redo it all again.
Oh, hell.
And it just pissed me off and just set me off the whole thing. And I'm not even going to try it.
You know what I found with the reminders, though? You might have a certain setting on it that if you don't click it, it will continue to remind you. And they do pop up at the same time. Like, it'll be a cluster of reminders. It happened to me. And you have to, like, exit off as if you got it already.
I accidentally did a setting on one for get stuff for Mother's Day, Kathy, that comes up every time I leave the house. It asked if it wanted my location. I'm like, sure, it's yes. my phone. I don't care if it knows where I am. And I put the location in. Apparently, my location is home. And every time I leave the house, yes. beep, get something
from Mother's Day. It's like geocaching. It determines where you are and figures yes. it's time to get a Mother's Day gift.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you know Rochelle didn't put that in there?
It's working against me now. Yeah.
You know what I do with the birthdays is I put it in on the actual day, but I set it to remind me every single year. In the calendar, sure. though, not reminders.
Yeah, but I want to do something that lets me know 2-3 weeks in advance, hey, go buy stuff, mm-hmm. because this is coming up in a few weeks. I got to get on.
You know my idea, which I think is pretty simple, and it's actually, it saves time and it saves money. Leading up to that, whatever event it is, start a fight with that person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't love you.
That's a good idea.
Listen, I was way out of line.
Oh, my God. Well, anyhow, hopefully Mother's Day was enjoyable for everyone, and just know that the person who created it hated it and died in a sanitarium. Marissa, I understand our guests are arriving, so could you bring in our next guest? And while we are bringing in our next guest, I want to remind you that we have chosen the first school for the coolest teacher of the year. We've started that up again.
Yes.
On the Preston and Steve Show. We've been doing this for a number of years. It's a lot of fun. We randomly choose a school. And today is the first one. It's Marion Mercy Academy. And so if you attend Marion Mercy Academy, you can text us and let us know which teacher has made an impact over your years there. And specifically this last year as well. But you just text the word teacher and then a space followed by the teacher's name to 39333. We'll give it to tomorrow morning about 5 a.m. is when we wrap it up. And then we'll tally up the votes and we'll award it, and then we'll pick another school.
I love this idea that you had a couple of years ago to start acknowledging and celebrating the teachers and mm-hmm. what they do, and it's been a big hit. People love it.
It's also just an indication that the school year is coming to an
yes.
end.
A lot of people texted in and said that makes us realize that school's almost over. Yep. So, all right, well, listen, we are going to welcome our next guest. He happens to be swinging by the area and wanted to stop in. We said absolutely. He's a friend of the show. From the great state of Delaware, ladies and gentlemen, United States Senator Mr. Chris Coons is here. Senator, good morning. How you doing?
I loved your impersonation of President Wilson signing the Mother's Day. Oh, you hear my sign?
All the gobbledygook. Some lobbyist said, we need this Mother's Day thing, really.
Is your mother, I have to ask, you know, people if their parents are still alive. So how was Mother's Day? Well, my mom died 10 years ago. Yeah. But is your mother still with us? Or
my mother's very much still with us.
Okay. Did you do anything
my
special?
My wife and I celebrated Mother's Day with our three kids. Our twin boys are freshmen in college.
Wow.
We spent the weekend driving out and back to South Bend, Indiana to recoup our son, Jack.
Notre Dame,
where he's a freshman, having a great year, and then came up here to meet our other son, Mike, who's a freshman at Penn. And we went to Reading Terminal Market, which is where my wife most wanted to have Mother's Day lunch with her.
We had a great time
at cheesesteaks and
just
pulled pork, and it was good.
Well, if that's what she wants, you nod and do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, come on. It was great. So, it was good.
So she cranked out twins, so she should get whatever she wants.
Twins, and then less than 2 years later, a wonderful daughter. So 3 kids in 3 years. She is an amazing mom.
Wow.
She is an amazing mom. But the founder of Mother's Day, as you amply documented, would be protesting outside my house were she still alive. Yeah. Saying, you were supposed to celebrate your mother, not your wife.
I think that was her idea, but as these things, you know, I think it got away from her. It's okay. Yeah, it's all good. As long as it's done with love and as long as you can, you have enough to cover the expenditure of everything you're sending as a gift, then you're good to go.
Are you pretty good with remembering birthdays, anniversaries? Because not only do you have your family, but I mean, you've got, you know, important constituents and coworkers and things.
Yep. You have a staff to help you with that, though, right?
Three schedulers,
wow. Right? I mean, you have to. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
And who handles all the Mother's Day stuff?
My older brother's incredibly kind. I took my mother out to dinner last night. I sent her a card, called her, posted on Facebook, but I need to do more. I know.
Do you have a Senator Chris Coons tchotchke of sorts that is kind of a...
The bobblehead.
You'll never guess, but I, in fact, have a bobblehead. I think you have a copy.
We have it.
You have a copy. Truly depressing.
And I did get up. I got a golf ball one time from you guys as well. Yeah, which is pretty cool. I didn't know if there were any other items.
Cufflinks.
Cufflinks, really?
Sometimes we give out cufflinks. Sometimes little tchotchkes. I just took a trip to Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan with a group of senators. And that's one of the interesting moments is the sort of awkwardness when you have a meeting with a senior official from, you know, China or Japan. Or, like,
right.
Your staff is supposed to have figured out, are we exchanging gifts or not, and what's the level? And, you know, every now and then there's a surprise. And the president of so-and-so walks out and says, here is the... And you turn and your staff goes, They said no gift.
You
at
could
this
have
birthday party.
A major breach of protocol because...
It can be awful.
And it's... You think of just how that happens within your family if you have like a Pollyanna thing set up and someone goes way over the limit. So you turn around and you're being handed a Fabergé egg and you hand them the bobblehead.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah.
So my incredible team always... I have an aide who's always got a bag with like an extra pair of cufflinks and extra... when we're traveling.
So, good idea.
And, you know what? And another thing as well, you have to be well informed of traditions and proper greetings and things like that. Has anything ever gone not detrimentally bad, but a little embarrassing?
The exact trip I just went on, the last jurisdiction I visited was Taiwan.
Yeah,
we are celebrating 40 years of recognition. U.S. China. China feels very strongly about the status of Taiwan. And Senator Hassan of New Hampshire was traveling with me. We got an entire sheet of do's and don'ts.
Oh.
Do not talk about the nation of Taiwan. It is the jurisdiction of Taiwan.
Okay.
We do not have an embassy in Taiwan. We have the American Institute in Taiwan. We do not have an ambassador. We have the director of the American Institute. My favorite thing, we went to visit we don't have a Marine security detachment in our non-embassy. We have a group of very fit young men and women wearing polo shirts and with sidearms, none of whom are currently serving as Marines. I mean, just
so at the bottom of the list with multiple asterisks does it say, right. Do not say Taiwan rocks.
Exactly. Do not say Taiwan rocks. So just this last week in the Capitol, we had a reception for the guy who is the head of the Taiwan Center, who's not their ambassador. And one of the senior senators in one sentence literally said everything you're not supposed to say.
But I mean, there's such a wealth of stuff to be aware of. And, and it's history is replete. With stories of misunderstandings and breaches of protocol.
Yep.
But I think at a certain point, everyone sort of gives a little latitude back, especially when you're dealing with, do they? You're raising your eyebrows. I mean, a little bit, right? I mean, when cultures are so...
This particular relationship between China and Taiwan, you know, we... 40 years ago, signed the Taiwan Relations Act that kind of sets out where we are.
Right.
There's this status quo. There's the militarized Taiwan Strait. There's
stuff,
anyway,
stuff there's to consider. Stuff.
And part of my purpose in visiting China was to press them on fentanyl. You know, we have a huge opioid crisis in this country, and a lot of the fentanyl that
coming
is
from China.
Killing Americans is coming from China.
Yeah.
And they listed it as an illegal substance just at the beginning of last month. And I was there to talk to them about, can you please enforce this? We need to work with you. This is really important.
Was it received well?
It was received very well. And
okay.
I promised that I would give them credit for having listed it as illegal. They do not have a illegal drug problem in their country.
Isn't it amazing?
You know,
for years and years and years, the Soviet Union had no serial killers until it turned out they did have serial killers.
It's funny about that.
Yeah. It's what they decide to cop to. But, it's a horrific thing, obviously. Right. And so much comes from there. I had no idea.
Amounts.
Yeah.
Huge amounts. And it comes through Mexico or directly. We've got a lot to do to strengthen the technical means of our post office to intercept things and stop things. But... part of this delicate dance of like who gives who a gift and who recognizes what country. Oh, there's a video of me meeting with the person who was the leader of the jurisdiction that I was in at the time.
You are the best jurisdiction leader I've ever met. Mm-hmm.
Flawless English, too, by the way. The funniest moment, right? It happened right here. The press comes in and she's speaking to them in Chinese. And then the second they leave, she turns to me and goes, okay, now we can really talk.
Wow. If you can get a command of languages, especially languages that pertain to hotspots around the world, you'll always have a career because it becomes so important, you know? I mean, you need someone who can also knows all the colloquialisms and all that stuff, so you're not giving a bobblehead when it's not bobblehead day in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Back home, the most important thing that happened this week was the merger between Dogfish Head and Boston Brewing. And I got to tell you, I did not miss, right? While I was paying attention to China and Taiwan, I did not miss the significant merger.
It's pretty big.
I had a great conversation with Sam Caligione. He and Mariah, his wife, are the founders of Dogfish Head, of which we are justifiably very proud in Delaware.
Yeah.
And we got on the phone with Jim Koch, who's the founder of, right on the left there in the photograph. founder of Boston Brewing, which makes Sam Adams, and he said, "We will not lay off anyone in Delaware. We will not relocate the brewery. We will only grow in Delaware." And Sam said, "Mariah and I intend to stay in Delaware, and Dogfish Head will not change.
It nice.
We'll be the same company going forward, but we will have bigger resources with which to grow." I will tell you, I was very anxious because sometimes a merger like that, an acquisition like that, means the end of the local. So we'll see. I'm very hopeful. Sam and Mariah have been great, great community leaders and really engaged and have done great stuff in Delaware.
I don't even drink anymore, and I was happy to hear when I had heard about the merger, the buyout, whatever you want to call it, that it was Sam Adams, that it wasn't a bigger
InBev,
like, any of them, because I just sort of appreciate what Jim has done with his own brand.
Yep,
and Jim's
it's
wife,
a better home.
Well, Jim's wife went to her sinus college, so that's another reason why I'm a big fan.
Wow. Hey, speaking of college and your kids being away, is there any, did they show any interest in what you do in politics down the road for?
Yeah, I mean, they, look, they grew up with me being a local county elected official. They got dragged to parades when they were little kids. They volunteered to, you know, hand out candy and flags and parades. They came to rallies and stuff. When they were teenagers, you know, we kept them sort of out of the campaigns. I'm up for re-election in 2020. I'm hoping they'll come. They have political opinions, but that are in some instances different from my own.
Okay.
And that's great. I mean, they're their own people. They're,
well, that says a lot about you also, that you cultivate free thinkers that are going to do that, which is very cool. Yep. Would you know if they really started to make a big shift in that direction? Would a little bit of you try to dissuade them?
You know, without getting into too much detail, I have one son who's a Democrat and one son who's a Republican, and I respect that. And my son who's a Republican, we got the invite to the Trump Christmas party, he said, "I want to go."
There you go.
So my wife kind of looked at me like,
"Do we have any of those bobbleheads?"
I said, "Sure." So I took him to the White House for the Christmas party, and he got to meet a whole bunch of, I think there were only three Democrats who showed up that year.
Yeah, but you know, you more than anyone can guide them in saying, "Look, here's what you're really going to be getting yourself into if you want to pursue this."
You know the warts and everything. Yeah. You know, while public service is a wonderful thing, that's what you hear with entertainers, where they'll say, "Listen, there's great reward to be had, but there's also a lot that you have to deal with." And now more than ever, your life is an open book in so many ways, and that's a part that dissuades a lot of people. It's probably some very good people out there who would be excellent at these various positions from not even getting into it, because they're afraid of how they're going to be, you know, just ripped apart.
I mean, they're all three of my kids are very well informed. They have strong opinions. None of them says they want to go be elected, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
None of them are saying that. But, you know, I mean, they're all going to pursue their own lives, their own careers, their own opportunities. They've got some really interesting things they're doing this summer. And we're going to have two out of three of them home most of the summer. My son, who's at Penn, will be here in Philadelphia much of the summer. He's got a great job with an internet startup. So,
if I may suggest something, have one of them start up a bobblehead company. You can cause dramatic.
Yes.
Honestly, as far as bobbleheads go, yours is actually pretty good. Preston's, ours are not that good.
I thought
they were pretty good.
I think they're pretty good.
No, I'm saying I was happy with mine. You thought you looked like Joey Fatone.
A little bit. A little bit.
I mean, it's hard to botch bald, and they did a good job.
The facial.
Well, you're wearing a hat.
Off,
you're
but,
wearing a cap.
Nonetheless.
What about a Chris Coonskin cap?
Chris Coonskin cap.
Chris Coonskin cap.
Right? That's like Davy Crockett.
That's
America.
Since that's literally never crossed
Coonskin
my
caps are all the rage these
days. Absolutely. All the cool kids are wearing
all the fur trappers are wearing them.
Only you make the top part look like hair.
Yeah, right.
And then the tail comes out.
Yes,
you know,
there we go.
Like
you know, sort of the bright red hair I once had. You know, the big.
Yeah. Did you have bright red hair?
Yeah. There was a brief period where I had a red beard and red hair, and I looked like a Viking. Yeah.
You must have looked like a lit match.
Yeah, I sort of did.
Have you ever taken this all the way down? You ever shaved the head completely?
Nope.
You leave a little bit there.
Yeah, Cory Booker keeps saying, you know, you really should do that. Give it a try.
Yeah.
I'm not persuaded.
Are you afraid that it won't come back? Or I think some balding guys are afraid of that. That they take it all the way down. Man, all of it might go away for good.
Like that classic Seinfeld episode where the guy is bald. He lets his hair go back and he realizes that he has a bald spot. He goes, "Oh, my God." He's been shaving his head for years. And when he lets it go back, he realizes he's bald in a spot. And it freaks him out. So I think you keep it nice and tight, and you look well put together.
Yeah. Is this you? Look at that, Marissa. Oh, show him on that monitor. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Whoa, dude!
You had a full head of hair.
You look Let me see.
You're a stud.
Yeah, it was bright red. Yeah.
Okay, when would that have been
or
taken?
Or strawberry blonde. That's probably 85.
Okay.
Look at you.
Strapping young man.
That's when you released your first folk album.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing in Philadelphia today? Anyway, you just come.
I've got several. I'm doing one other interview. I've got a lunch with a law firm downtown. I'm getting on the train going to Washington. We've got votes this afternoon.
Okay, all right. And I know you're working on. You introduced legislation to rename Union Station in D.C. Harry S. Truman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. The Republican senator from Missouri, Roy Blunt. He's been a good partner with me. We're co-chairs of the Law Enforcement Caucus. This week is actually Law Enforcement Memorial Week in Washington. And, you know, we don't get a lot of press about the positive and bipartisan things that happen in the Judiciary Committee.
Never.
Last week.
Because the Judiciary Committee,
all anybody knows is, you know, Lindsey Graham and fighting constantly and, you know, the conservative judges and stuff. On a bipartisan basis, we got out two bills last week to help law enforcement, both to help fund programs to prevent suicide amongst first responders, and then second, to make permanent the bulletproof vest program that's been around for 25 years. There were two Delaware Capitol Police officers whose lives were saved by bulletproof vests that were partially federally funded when there was a shootout literally at the entrance to our county courthouse. Both sergeants were shot in the chest.
Yeah.
Both survived.
Wow.
Bulletproof vests are expensive. You have to replace them. They have to be anatomically appropriate. You know, now we've got many men and women in law enforcement, and you can't wear them for that long. I mean, they wear out after a decade, literally.
Both my brothers, law enforcement, and it means a great deal. Yeah. Means a great deal, yes.
They are uncomfortable, but they are absolutely life-saving. And so I think this is a terrific program. We renamed it for Pat Leahy, who's fought for it for years, and that's something I worked on in previous Congresses as well. Anyway, it's good that we get things out, that we get things done.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I went to the John McCain Institute weekend. It was a great retreat. There were a dozen members, you know, from Sheldon Whitehouse, who's a liberal from Rhode Island, to Dan Sullivan, who's a conservative from Alaska. Cindy and I did a panel on immigration and refugees. And Cindy McCain has really come into her own as a leader, as a voice on issues like human trafficking that she's hugely passionate about. And it was a great weekend. And, I wish the average American could see us listening to each other, respecting each other, and talking about ways we want to solve real problems.
What a difference that would make.
It's what we need.
It's what we need,
We need to hear more about the joint effort. It's there. We're just not hearing about
it. But in the news cycles, if it's bleeding, it's leading.
That's it.
And that's what you're going to get. You
got
to fuel 24 hours of content, and no one wants to hear, well, that was nice.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, anyhow, well, it's wonderful to see you, as always, Senator. Thanks for coming by today.
Absolutely.
And let's give it up for Mr. Chris Coons, Senator from Delaware. We are going to take a break. I saw some mussels out in our green room.
Oh, seafood!
No, Robert Irvine is here. So we'll be back in just a moment. Actually, his event is coming up tonight. We're also going to talk to Joan Jett before we get out of here. Stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Swinging into town once again for a very big event that's happening, and it is at the Fillmore. It's the third annual Beats and Eats Food and Music event, and we'll find out more about it. I believe it's sold out, though.
So but, what the hell?
Well, he's such a great guy. He wanted to come by and say hi.
All right, anyway. That makes sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, our celebrity chef buddy, Mr. Robert Irvine.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
listen,
back.
Before we get started, I want to say congratulations to you guys.
Yes.
Good job. Oh. I read in the paper.
On the extension? Yes, thank you.
Extension.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, yes.
That's pretty good. I mean, I can listen around the world continually.
Do you listen or you're just
I
making
do.
That
no,
up?
No,
you sure?
I do, right, absolutely.
All right, okay.
I've got a whole radio app on my phone here.
I've seen you tweet out after we've done things on the show that you like, so that adds credence to that.
Okay,
I believe you.
You travel more than anybody I know, I think. You are just constantly moving.
345 days a year. Yesterday, I was in Mescalero, New Mexico.
Me too.
10:30 last night. Like, whoa.
How do you do it? I mean, you know, it drives me. I get mild anxiety when I have to go to the airport, make sure I'm there on time to catch a flight and blah, 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 and get the everything, you know, make sure I didn't accidentally leave something in my bag that'll get me in trouble at the TSA.
That's Gail.
Gail's the same way. She's like, last minute, I have to be 2 hours in advance. All three, I don't care. But Gail's last minute and does the same thing. Oh, did I leave?
Yeah, whatever.
My gun in my bag.
It happens.
Well, you have people who assist you, correct? Obviously, who help get you there.
I have a lot of people
who
assist me.
Yeah.
I couldn't live without it.
Yeah, you'd be in jail by now.
Hey, you know what? I was watching. So I mentioned this on the air. I think it was on the air the other day. Have you ever seen the movie Crazy Rich Asians?
Yes.
So they're flying to Singapore. And they get in this unbelievable first-class suite with the... Have you ever flown in something that swanky?
Yeah, Turkish Airlines. We did a big USO tour, and it was around the world, whatever. You get a little pod, and the best bit about it was we landed in Turkey, and we had like 8 hours layover or something. I can't remember. And everybody got a bed, a shower, in a room, in a club.
Oh. In the airport.
In the actual club.
So
in the
plane, what he's talking about is first class actually has suites, like full-blown rooms.
We call them pods, just so you know.
Pods.
Steve, I know you haven't been on one.
Yeah, I've never been on one. Pods. No.
Okay. I've never been in a
no,
pod.
No, I'm always...
A big bar at the back also. Yeah.
I get sedated and they put me next to a Doberman in steering, so that's how I got...
What's the longest flight you've ever taken?
Oh, 20-something hours?
Australia or
Japan,
Singapore.
Have you been to Antarctica?
Yeah, I can't remember where it was, but we went to Djibouti.
Okay.
And then, where was it? Diego Garcia. Yeah,
You were on a C-17.
Yeah, that was not a pretty.
Hours.
There was no pot on that. It was a big military
plane. No pot on that.
It was a sleeping bag and a recliner.
But obviously, go ahead.
I want to piggyback. He said, has he ever been to Antarctica before?
Well, we just came back from Thule, which is Greenland, which is 700 miles from the North Pole.
Yeah.
And perpetual darkness, or mostly darkness. And they have the vitamin D lights when they wake up in the morning, the troops.
You need them.
So literally, not outside. We were given special gear because it's so cold. You get out of a place, into a van, to the next place, into a van. You never walk around. It was like minus 32 degrees.
Because exposure happened so quickly. Any plan? Because there are military installations.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, well, that's where we were.
But in Antarctica as well. Yeah.
You throw a cup of water up, it freezes.
Yeah.
The cars now have aircraft fuel, so it doesn't freeze. Jeez. I mean, it was pretty cool, actually.
It is kind of cool, the extreme areas. What's your favorite place as the world traveling Robert Irvine? What is your, besides obviously here in this very studio, what's your favorite place to visit around the world?
I don't know, anywhere the military is. So we've been pretty much everywhere there is. But I got to say, Djibouti is probably one of the most unusual, simply because China has a piece, you know, of Djibouti, then we have a base. And for no apparent reason, when you get on a bus and you go into the airport, there is, in the middle of the road with no electricity, there's like, you know, when those things go through at the airport, it goes beep, but there's no electricity to it.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty wild.
And you have to pay the folks to let you through it, which is kind of funny because you're on a military bus.
Have you ever made, how close have you ever made it to, like, North Korea? Have you ever been?
Well, we were literally there.
You were on
before the famous meeting of
on North the base?
South.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, right?
Man. Speaking of world travelers.
John Stewart.
I know that Andrew Zimmerman is going to be at this event tonight. I'd love to meet him sometime. I love that show, The Bizarre Foods.
He is something special. I was saying last night, actually, to our guys, I've done a few shows with Andrew. He's a stand-up guy, but his knowledge of food from around the world is second to none.
Okay.
I mean, really, he can pull stuff out of his brain that I've never heard of.
He'd probably eat it, too.
Yeah, he probably would.
The crap he eats is some of it is just
He's
disgusting.
An amazing guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think you would get on well with him. He's very intellectual, which puts me out of his league. But
us too, yeah.
You know, he can spell.
We laugh every time you say Djibouti.
Djibouti.
But, yeah, he's going to be there. Garces, our buddy Jose, will be in attendance. Buddy Valastro, we haven't seen Buddy in a long time, the cake boss.
Yes. So Buddy, he's a very cool guy. Yeah.
He is a cool guy. You know, every time we do something and he comes, which is busy schedule, I mean, he always donates to the foundation, which is pretty cool. That was a big thing for you, Buddy, tonight. $10,000, please.
Calling him out.
Yeah, right now, on radio.
Right now.
I know he's listening somewhere.
You know, just if you want to piss him off, say, so you do all that stuff with fondant, right?
Yeah.
Because that's, how do you do those incredible guys? Fondant, that's what we do. but yeah, there's some of the stuff that they make and all that stuff. So with this show and the music and the food and everything, are you always up front? Are you the
No, I did it last year and I was so tired. And I'm not good at hosting these things. You know, you need somebody that can keep things flowing.
Right. Right.
And I like to have a drink. I like to eat. I like to, you know, so that's not a good thing for me. And this year, I mean, Justin's worked a whole year on this. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that the bottom line.
Oh, you do speak. There you go.
Speak.
Robert and I have been to dozens, actually hundreds of charity events. You go to these things, you're sitting around tables,
right,
with, you know, fillets that taste like sawdust and all that. And
right.
We wanted to create something different that was a social experience. People go to events all the time, but we have these long, like, banquet Jesus style tables with family style food.
Yeah, so the chefs actually bring out the food, which is it's servers, obviously, but we want the guests to get to see the Zimmers and the Cat Coras and the Jose's and Marcy Turner's of the world.
It's an experience you don't often get. So it's completely sold out tonight? Is there still
no,
a little?
No, so we actually this morning were able to add seats to the back of the room, to the eight tables at the back, so we have eight seats for your listeners.
Okay.
Use code WMMR, 20% off. Eight left, literally, that's all we got.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Eight listeners.
Yeah.
Jump on these. I was there last year, and literally, these chefs that you're watching on TV are in the back cooking all this food, and then they come out and serve it to you.
Yeah,
like, it's, you know, and then there's some local chefs too. I think Val or Marcy.
Yeah, we have Marcy, Jose Garces, Kevin Spraga. Yeah, so a lot of local sports.
Dirk Fanglehorn.
Not Dirk Fanglehorn. No, but Kat Cora from Iron Chef America is going to be there as well. So these are the people that you watch on TV, and they're going to be serving you tonight. That's awesome. I didn't know there were any tickets available.
Listen, again, on this, these things like this are meant to be decadent. You're just indulge yourself and have a great time, and it's for a great cause. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, and Robert did actually. So on the music side of the house, 3 days ago, we were able to get Ryan Cabrera. And this is actually a funny story if Robert, you want to.
So I did a world tour. First of all, I met Gail when I was doing Dinner Impossible with WWE. Miz was on my show. Miz recently did a USO tour with the chairman of Joint Chiefs, me and Gail. So it's kind of come full circle. He asked me to do his show on USA, Miz and Mrs.
He has a reality show.
I ended up going there. Wait till you see this show. It's ridiculously funny. He blows us some cheese. It's really funny.
Yeah.
But I met Brian there. I said, hey, you want to come and have some fun? And he's like, yeah, cool. Yeah. So he's going to come over and
that's cool.
Play, which is pretty cool.
The Miz is actually, we've had him on the show.
Yep.
Those guys are all so good with their fans. And so, and they do a lot, like you, they do a lot of charity stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's a good synergy with all you guys.
Yeah. Ryan Cabrera in our studio a really long time ago performing with Michelle Carmen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're looking at pictures of him right now. That's right. Cool, man.
He's a good dude.
That should be nice.
Yeah, it was funny. He made me laugh a lot.
Casey, did you notice
cheese blew up? Oh, you with us, Casey? Congratulations.
No, thank you. I'm still here. Yeah.
He was doing the rose for you. Or something.
I was going to point out that Robert's in a very much a better mood than last time.
Yeah,
you were so grumpy the last time.
Yeah. I just got off a plane like 500 miles, 1,000 miles.
I'm just glad that you're not denying it.
Your wife wasn't grumpy.
My wife's never
grumpy.
But what Casey's saying is that in the hallway when you push down that Make-A-Wish kid, we thought that was... what alarmed us.
I was just trying to get in the studio faster.
Get out of here. Come on.
I've been in Japan and I did a 9-day world tour with
Not Djibouti?
The bike, so.
I thought you were hungover.
No, wow. I never get hungover.
No.
I drink tequila. Mm-hmm. There's no hangover with tequila.
No, you never get hungover because you're always drunk.
Always drunk. Yeah. There's that too.
No, good tequila. I agree with you. I get tired, but I never get hungover.
Mm. See, you got to drink. You got to drink Patron, girl.
That's exactly what
good,
I drink.
Good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just realized I have a Robert Irvine story. I may not have told you guys this. I was on a layover in Denver. I forgot where I was coming back from, but I was
Djibouti.
I was by myself. I wasn't from Djibouti. And I got this idea from Casey. Anytime that there's a layover in an airport, if they have one of those, you know, shiatsu massage places, stop and get a rub for a little bit, get a massage, relax for a little bit. So I'm getting a massage. The masseuse or masseur was a guy who was doing it. We're talking just blah, 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 this and that.
You're so tense. And
I asked, you know, we just started talking to each other, and he said that he likes to cook or he wants to be a chef one day. And then he starts talking about Robert Irvine.
And your massage. And this is kind of creepy right now.
Yeah, no, but, and so I did the whole thing, well, I actually know him, you know. I didn't. I'm sure he didn't believe me at all, and I didn't have any pictures on my phone.
Come on, you have a ton of pictures on your phone, dude. Don't be afraid.
Here's my Robert Irvine folder. Was he impressed?
Well, yeah, I guess so. He probably thought I was lying about it, but
Do you have his phone number? Robert's phone number?
No.
You should do the old classic. Well, let me call him right now.
Yeah, I know. I get that all the time.
What the hell is this?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
I'm like, I don't know you.
I'm in Djibouti right now. Leave me alone.
So Steve's going to be talking about Djibouti for the rest of the day.
Of course. That's what I do.
When I was in college, I was in the Mali UN, and Djibouti was our country.
Yes.
And the only thing I remember about it is that the capital of Djibouti is Djibouti. That's all I remember.
The Mali UN is where everyone is incredibly attractive, right?
Yeah. No, not necessarily, but... most of them were like good students and were actually paying attention and go and do these sessions and stuff like that. I did not belong there. Go figure.
So did anybody watch your new season of Restaurant Impossible?
Have not yet. No.
Oh, you got it.
Just being honest.
Okay. We'll
do
DVR'd it. I want you to watch it.
The DVR we do.
Very different. Very different.
Very different. And I know that you're... I remember you telling us about this, that you're going to also spend a little bit of time really... I guess not consoling. That wouldn't be the right
terrorizing.
No.
Do that too.
Yeah, but I mean,
you can counseling.
You're going to counsel them.
Get a little more involved with them.
It's shot in a very different way. You know, obviously, technology cameras are much better. Yeah. But there's a lot more story to it now. So there's a lot more of them creating the menus instead of me just telling them.
Right. Are you happy with the way it's coming out?
Oh,
yeah.
Unbelievable. We just got another pickup after our first season, a new season. And we've got
a sneak
preview to you. We're going to go back and see those that we did 7 years ago.
No, really?
Okay.
So statistically, how many do you...
I couldn't give you a number
right now, but
I will send it to you when I find out. Okay. I know there's a lot still open that shocked me.
Yeah.
Because they've just done, you know, where are we going to go next?
Because I was always a fan of the show, but there were some times you'd finish up and I'm like, man... He's really set them up, but I don't know if they have the commitment to follow through.
Yeah, and it's funny because those that I thought would do well didn't, and those that I thought wouldn't do well did.
Wow.
So, you know.
Well, the business is so difficult. It is so hard to find something that sticks and stays.
But you have one at the road in Harrisburg. I'd never forget it. Doug and Debbie Crick, what was it called?
Dodge City Steakhouse.
Yeah. Literally, the best year ever last year. They were one of my first restaurants.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So.
That's got to make you proud.
You know, I'm really excited to go back and see these folks and see. I talk to Doug and Debbie a lot, obviously, but I want to see where these other folks that I don't talk to every week do.
Right.
I mean, it breaks your heart because, a lot of times it's these families and it's their...
Flesh and blood.
It's their lives. It's absolutely their lives. Like, they're not just, making food for people, but they're paying their mortgage with that. They're hopefully putting their kids through college with that.
They usually sink everything they have in that as well.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in a new season. I mean, I have I'll tell you just briefly, I have a 79-year-old African-American on the south side of Chicago, 79 years old, remortgaged the house, didn't tell her 84-year-old husband.
Wow.
And they're,
Had he had any history with restaurants before? Or was this his first dive in?
This woman is a saint. She's got a street named after her. I mean, there's drive-bys in the street by the restaurant. I mean, it's unbelievable. But this woman is a saint. Son wants to wreck her out. Just how would you do that at 79 years old?
Yeah.
Remortgage a house that is paid for. And not tell your 84-year-old husband.
Yeah, no.
It's good advice. Anyway. That's how you keep a marriage going.
Yeah, don't you need a signature? Don't you need his
signature? You can always forge it.
See. There's always a forgery somewhere.
If you're going back to do Restaurant Impossible, are you going to do any Dinner Impossibles again?
Well, it's funny. The fans have been asking for it. I'm pitching that we kind of do a couple to see how I feel. I'm old now. When I did that show, I remember, I used to be dead for 3 days.
Yeah.
You leave everything that you run around, you're crazy. Big George, you know, and a buddy of mine, Glenn Bennett, is like, yeah, you're not old. You can do this. You can do this. It's easy for you. It's not easy. Yeah.
No, it really is. It starts to suck the life out of you. So how's Djibouti Impossible coming?
We're going in Djibouti. Yeah, so we'll see.
It's a funny word. It just really is, and I'm going to stick with it.
Sublimonier.
Yeah.
Well, this is cool that that some more seats are available for this event tonight, because I was told it was sold out, and that's great. So, Justin, if people want to get a hold of those last 8 seats, how do they do it again?
Yep, go to beatsandeats.co. Use code WMMR for 20% off. 8 seats left.
And nice. Beats, but there's only 8 seats. That's it. You added those seats. I mean,
go there right now.
So Beats and Eats, it's not and Eats, it's the letter N.
Letter N.
Beats and Eats.co.
Yep.
Okay, and use the code WMMR. So that's tonight at the Fillmore, 7 to 11, and a lot of really cool people are going to be there. Like we had mentioned, Andrew Zimmerman and Buddy Velastro and Kate Cora and our buddy Jose Garces and several other locals and national.
My buddy Glenn Bennett. And you can drink tequila with him.
Oh, there you go.
And here's the coolest thing. It goes to the Robert Irvine Foundation. You can go online. You can see what we do with the money, and a lot of it we'll show on video tonight of those that received grants last year, dogs, and it's pretty cool.
No, it'll make it's you cool. Cry. You do so much good work.
Did you see a Philly restaurant won the Beard Award here recently?
two of the guys, the Potash twins from L.A., they're big foodies. They had a show on Bravo Digital. They went there last night. As soon as they landed, they're here for the show.
Oh, yeah? They brought leftovers. Hey, Robert, you want my leftovers? I mean, really? Really? I'm like, dude, he'll take your leftovers. I don't do leftovers.
I wonder how they got in, because if you go on the like the open table
two
or whatever.
Out.
Yeah, 2 months, yes. Every reservation is booked. Yeah.
But it's great. I love that that our city, you know, gets the attention that it deserves on the great restaurants that are here.
Well,
know?
Deserved. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think you guys do such a great job of having folks like me and chefs on to let the world know what it is. And we thank you for what you do every day, too. So it's pretty cool.
Vice versa.
Robert might be opening something just north of the city later this year. So
stay tuned.
Oh, that was a big drop. Oh,
I love
it's,
that.
It's an ice cream place called Djibouti Tutti Frutti.
Hey, you know I'm going to steal that now, right?
Djibouti Tutti Frutti?
Please, just give us credit.
That's brilliant.
He has had some coffee this morning.
That's what I do. Yeah.
On fire.
All right. By the way, the event tonight benefits the Robert Irvine Foundation. Of course, the focus of that is on giving back to and supporting our military personnel. And that's active, retired, and veterans, and first responders, and all that stuff. So get the tickets. Go tonight. Great to see you, my man.
All right. Thanks. Be good, everybody. Love
you. As always, love you too. Robert Irvine and Justin. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bud Light presents MMBBQ 2019, Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion.
It's time for flip-flops and tank tops, yo! As MMR kicks off your summer concert season, 8 killer bands on one stage, Shinedown. All you'll ever be is a faded memory of a Joe Jett and the Blackhearts. Plus GA performances from Fozzy, Bad Wolves, The Glorious Sons, and Serapo. Lawn tickets start at just $25 for a full day of rock. MMRBQ 2019.
Presented by Bud Light. Brewed with hops, barley, water, and rice. And sponsored by Rita's Water Ice and Godshall's Turkey Bacon.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Right, here comes the B-File.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Sterling Pig Brewery. Attention, craft beer lovers. Sterling Pig Brewery's second location, Public House, is now open. And it's on Market Street in Westchester. Happy hour every week from 4 to 6 p.m. For more information, visit sterlingpig.com. All right, a couple of stories run by you. Let's go with this. It was only a matter of time, of course. There's now a porn video of two people having sex in a Tesla while it was driving on autopilot.
Of course.
The video, in the video, a man driving a Tesla picks up adult actress Taylor Jackson for a Tinder date. But about 45 seconds into the rendezvous, the pair decide to have sex in the Tesla. The driver manages to keep a hand on the wheel for some of the initial heavy petting and oral, but for much of the 3 minutes of copulation, the software is in control. The video seems to have been uploaded to Pornhub around the end of April. Within a couple of days, the video caused Tesla to be the number one search on Pornhub.
Of course.
Tesla states on its autopilot guide that it's currently not a self-driving system and the feature is intended to use with a fully attentive driver.
Well, partially attentive.
Who has their hands on the wheel and is prepared to take over at any time. So
you know this is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, cars will be marketed in the future on this this possibility.
Yeah, probably. Police in Japan said Monday that they had arrested a 78-year-old man on suspicion of abandoning the body of his mother, who was in her 90s at their home. According to police, Katsuyoshi Nabata, who lived alone with his mother, said that his mother died last June.
She died last June.
They just found out.
Yeah.
Her decayed body was found by Nabata's 47-year-old son on Saturday night when he came to visit his father and grandmother.
Wait, what's this?
For the Golden Week holidays, he found his grandmother's corpse on the bed in her first-floor bedroom.
And she's just sleeping like a log.
And he notified police. On Sunday, Nabata was located at a hot spring facility and arrested.
Oh, I completely forgot.
Yeah, he was in the hot spring. He was relaxing,
She's been dead for about 6 months.
Local media reported that he told police that he had continued to collect his mother's pension after she
died. There we go.
Yep. A man caused a scare in downtown San Diego last week when he allegedly waved what looked like an assault-style rifle out of the window of a hotel room, but the purported weapon turned out to be a bong.
Oh, officers, an assault bong?
Officers were patrolling the trolley line when someone approached and told them that a suspect had brandished an assault-style rifle at them from a third-floor window at the Palms Hotel. Officers cordoned off the area, halted trolley traffic, and went to the room at the residential hotel where the alleged brandishing occurred. They ordered the occupants out of the room and detained a man and a woman. And a search of the premises turned up a gold-colored replica firearm that looked like a smaller version of an AR-15 rifle, but was actually a bong that can be used for smoking marijuana.
So by design, it's supposed to look like an AR-15?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. That's pretty weird.
The item was found in the refrigerator.
Did they pull the roach clip out of it so it wouldn't go off?
The man will be booked on suspicion of exhibiting a replica firearm in a threatening manner. The woman was released.
That's crazy.
This was from last week, too. I didn't get a chance to get to it. A British soldier was killed by an elephant during a counter-poaching operation in Malawi. Matthew Talbot, who is 22, was on patrol when he was charged by the animal. His commanding officer described Guardsman Talbot as a determined and big-hearted man. Talbot was serving in his first operational deployment. The patrol of armed British Army soldiers and African Park Rangers was walking through tall grass up to 7 feet high when they disturbed an unseen herd of elephants.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, one of them charged at the guardsman, and he died soon from his injuries.
If only elephants were bigger.
No one else in the patrol was hurt. Operation Corded, the name given to the Army's counter-poaching deployment in Malawi, assists in the training of Rangers in a bid to help them crack down on the illegal wildlife trade. One more story, and then we got to wrap it up. Let's go with this. A French man who has spent more than 4 months floating across the Atlantic Ocean in a giant orange barrel has arrived at his Caribbean destination.
I made it.
Jean-Jacques Seven.
And it only took 4 months.
Set off from the Canary Islands off the coast of Africa on December 26, 2018, heading west in a barrel-shaped capsule he had built himself. Seven, who was 71 at the time of his departure, spent the first 4 months of 2019 in his barrel, traveling at about 2 miles an hour with no engine and relying entirely on the ocean's current to guide his journey. That's insane.
Of course it is.
He surprised locals as he came ashore on the tiny Dutch Caribbean island of St. Eustatius.
I am completely out of my mind.
Shortly after midnight last week, bringing a mammoth 2,930-mile journey to a close. He said, "Everything has an end. Finally, here I am at the end of this adventure." After stepping foot on land for the first time this year, a diving center on St. Eustatius welcomed Seven, adding on Facebook that he was also given a room at a hotel on the island, which has a population of just over 3,000 people.
The multitude of ways he could have died.
Easily.
Yeah.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, now on about an event that is coming up this week. A friend is here in the studio to promote the 5th annual Philly Loves Paws event on Wednesday. This is Melissa Levy, everybody. Yay! Hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Nice to see you today.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me, as always.
No problem. So fifth year, so things are going well then.
Things are going well. We have a bigger collection of businesses than we've ever had before. Over 100 are participating on Wednesday. All have committed to donate a portion of their proceeds to PAWS.
And businesses ranging from what?
You name it. We have over 100 businesses. There are restaurants ranging from coffee shops and ice cream shops to bars and high-end restaurants. We have salons and bike shops and tattoo parlors and animal, of course, pet yes. supply stores, but a really huge range of other businesses as well.
So you just take the list is available, I assume, on the website?
PhillyLovesPaws.org.
Okay.
There's the whole list, and it's still growing. So yeah. Businesses are still signing on, and they're still welcome to sign on. So really, everything you can think of that you would want to do on Wednesday, to shop, to buy gifts, to have a bite to eat, to, you know, get your bike fixed.
That's great. No, honestly, the more, if you, it's stuff you're probably going to be doing anyway on Wednesday in some form or another.
Yep.
Just go do it at one of these places, and you're going to help animals.
Pick that day to go out and, you know, and maybe, you know, if you look on, is there an official list of everybody participating?
Yep, it's all on PhillyLovesPaws.org, and there's even a map so that you can kind of chart your course and make a day of it, go shopping and have some, you know, have a bite to eat along the way and show some love to these businesses who are supporting us. So
if you look at the list, you might come up with some things like, oh, yeah, I needed to get this done. I needed to get that done. And then you can just check them all off your list and go do that. Yep. And the money goes to a cause that you believe in.
Exactly. It's essential, too, because PAWS is 100% privately funded, correct?
We certainly are. Yep. Every animal we save depends on dollars that we can raise. So this is a huge help for us.
And just explain for people who aren't familiar with PAWS, with what PAWS does.
Yep.
What does PAWS do?
PAWS is the largest rescue partner in Philadelphia. We have 3 locations where we rescue and then adopt out animals that we have saved from city shelters where they're in danger of being put down. We also provide low-cost veterinary care, spay, neuter, and basic vet care to pet owners who can't afford it otherwise. So we're trying to help people keep their pets, keep them part of their family, and prevent them from entering shelters. And then we're also, of course, trying to reduce the number of animals who are killed in Philadelphia shelters. And ultimately, we are leading Philadelphia to become a no-kill city.
Kills.
And
yes.
we are so close.
It's right there.
Yep,
my wife,
right
Claire,
there.
And I help and participate a lot with the PAWS mission. So, and hopefully that will be a reality. Keep your fingers crossed.
We're getting there. Yep. We're closer every month.
All right. Yep. And these are broken down in categories, too. So you have shops, retail, food and drink, and services. So this should be pretty easy to find.
Yep.
Something that you might need or want to do.
There's something for everybody.
And so that's this Wednesday.
Yes, indeed. All day long. So whatever you spend at these businesses, they've committed to donating a portion of that. Doesn't cost you anything more. They've committed to donating a portion of that back to PAWS.
Very easy.
It is.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that we spread the word about that.
Thank you.
PhillyLovesPaws.org.
Yes.
Is where you want to work or where you want to go and get whatever work you may need to be
having done. That's right.
Awesome. Well, keep up the great work,
Thank
Melissa.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you.
Thank
Melissa
you.
Levy Yay! From PAWS. It's on Wednesday. We have to take a break. I'm sorry to keep this so short, Melissa, but we've got Joan Jett, who's coming up next. And she is, of course, going to be performing at the MM Barbecue on Saturday. So we'll talk with her and also longtime collaborator. We'll be joining her, Kenny Laguna, as well as also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This Monday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. One of the things that we are anticipating, of course, this week is MM Barbecue 2019. It's Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So awesome.
And one of the things we're really excited about is our next guest who's going to be performing live. And a lot of people are mentioning how excited they are to see her on stage.
I've seen her a couple times. She's just amazing.
Please welcome the legendary Joan Jett to the show this morning. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, and Kenny Laguna, are you on board as well?
I am.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you guys for joining us. It's great to have you on. Joan, it's this is our first time talking to you, so I'm honored to have a chance to speak. You have a long history with the city of Philadelphia and this radio station, WMMR, though, don't you?
Oh, I sure do. Well, first of all, I was born in your fair city, and MMR was an original, what we call, Blackheart station, which was one of the first stations to play our music on our label, on Blackheart Records. So you're one of the original supporters that helped us actually be able to break through and have
success. And Joan, so when you guys were with the Blackhearts label, that was you were pressing your own records and doing a lot of your own marketing and
still do.
So and still do. So that was an essential part of the whole process for you, correct?
Oh yeah, well, it was survival. Because we had nothing, no other place to go. We'd been turned down by all the majors and the minors. They didn't want anything to do with us, and so we just didn't know what else to do. But Kenny said, "Let's print up some records," and we sold them in the back of our car at the gigs after the shows. And so that was, you know, before people even sold merch at gigs.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to think back that long when bands didn't sell merch. You know, you went to a show, you saw the show, that was it.
So Kenny, were you the money guy when it started off? Did you fund all this stuff?
Well, I didn't have that much money, but I did have a little. I did have a little college fund for my daughter, who was 2 months old when Joan started with us, and there was just a couple $1,000 in there, and there was a fellow from Jane the Americans lent us a couple of $1,000, and that's how we started. We didn't really have much money, and then we started out. We were making like $250 a gig, which isn't much when you have five people to feed. And then we went up to 500, and we started selling out the clubs. And one of the things we did was we sold out clubs with MMR. In the days when the drinking age was 18, the club scene was an incubator for rock and roll bands. And we were very successful with that.
It's a fascinating story, obviously. Legendary stuff. I just recently watched the documentary Bad Reputation, which is sensational. And then, Joan, I also saw you in another documentary. It's a New Wave, Dare to Be Different, about WLIR and Long Island and Dennis McNamara and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, and it's that type of building a rock career the way you did incrementally, and Kenny, I know with your participation as well, the whole beast has changed in the way it's done. But, you know, as you look back on that, do you sometimes ever just look at each other and go, how the hell did we pull this off?
All the time.
Yeah.
Every single day. And I'll tell you, that's part of the pleasure of it, is that you did, you know, you stuck to your guns and you did it the way you wanted to do it, and you didn't change your, you know, who you were to do that. And so it feels very satisfying. And, you know, it could never happen again. You know, certainly, as you guys just mentioned, how the business has completely changed.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so, you know, the way you go about breaking things today is a completely different mechanism.
It's very cool, though, because I think, and we're thrilled to see it, because you have, I don't know if this is something that you perceive or if it's a little uncomfortable. You know, you're so many people look up to you, and you have this legendary status. And then, like, seeing you get up with the remaining members of Nirvana and rock at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and do all that you're in that place now where you know you're revered, and but it's not false reverence. You've earned everything you've got. Do you bear that well, or does it make you feel a little uncomfortable when people are so lavishing attention on you?
Well, I don't think that the attention is uncomfortable. It's, you know, putting me, I don't know, I guess, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable because, you know, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I just got lucky and the timing was great, and, yeah, maybe I've got a little talent too. But, you know, all that combination, I didn't do it alone.
Yeah.
I did it with everybody, with you guys too. It takes more than, you know, you can never say that you did it alone. But
sure.
Yeah, that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, okay. I like to, but I'm very proud of it. And I am very aware of how much people
how the, much the music means to them, and how, you know, for a lot of people, it saved their lives. It really gets them through the toughest times, and you realize it's not you. It's something about the music that you're just lucky enough to be the messenger. You know, to be involved and let it come through you. But I guess people relate to me somehow. I don't know if it's the underdog thing, and we all feel like such underdogs so much of the time. It's so tough to struggle through life on any level, you know what I mean? So people like to see underdogs
thrive. And thrive you have, Joan, because if you take a look at when you began back in the 1970s, and here we are in 2019, the past 5 years specifically have really been a, it feels like a reinvigoration of your music, of the awareness, and things like the Runaways as well. But, I mean, you have the Nirvana performances, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as Steve has mentioned. Your music keeps popping up in TV shows and films all the time. Ready Player One, Stranger Things, Guardians of the Galaxy. Has this part of it been surprising to you that this many years later, it's still just that present, you know?
You know, I'm not even sure I've ever even fathomed this.
Yeah.
This part of my life. You know, every day is an amazing day, and I just I'm thankful I'm part of it. You know, well, I know it sounds pretty stupid.
No, it doesn't. You talked about the underdog status and all of that, and that's I always like there's Joan at it and she's doing her deal, and that always appealed to me that you were just. You love the music. You persisted. And Kenny, when you guys were, you know, in the early days of the Blackhearts and putting the band together, I know it was the process of assembling the right band and getting the right synergy and the right group of people that would you know, work well with Joan. How meticulous, how difficult is a process like that when you're putting a band together, you know, and looking for that right mix?
Well, you know, we were struggling at the time, and you know, it was a lot of work, but I remember there was one fellow who said to us, enjoy this struggle because this is the best it's going to be. And there was some truth to that, you know, because we did get results. It was like punching at a wall and all of a sudden it gave way. And so there was a lot of joy to that. And I do feel that the kind of music we were doing, you know, I really believe in it. We spent a little time hanging out with Chuck Berry, Joan and I, and we were trying to get him to sign with Blackheart Records, which, of course, I spent about 2 years working on it, and it just couldn't get past his cynicism. But at the very end of a long haul with his cynicism, he admitted to us that, yeah, he loved rock and roll like we do. And there is a thing about real rock and roll. There's rock music and there's rock pop music, but there's the real rock and roll. And, you know, to have been a small part of that was joyful. And, you know, that's...
Sure, I mean, specifically, I was reading, and I'd forgotten this, but Joan, you did a little bit of work with the Sex Pistols, correct?
Yeah, well, after they had broken up. Yeah, I worked with some of the guys, yeah.
I mean, and obviously so that you have your, you know, the punk cred, you have the straight-up rock cred, and the different artists that you've worked with from Petty to the Ramones to even Van Halen, you know, across all those, I mean, they're all with under the rock banner, but that audiences for those various artists would be accepting of you, I think that's got to say a lot to you. Was there ever any audience you got up in front of when you were working with another artist where you thought, okay, this is a crapshoot as to whether or not they're going to like me?
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of times. I mean, now it might seem like people can be accepting, but, you know, several years, I'd say in the 80s, mid-80s, we were having success in the States, but we were on the road in Europe. Italy, I believe, and you know, I know what the story is, but right. At the time, we were playing with the Scorpions, and there was another opening act, and there were two shows in one city. We did the show one night. The next night, the opening band wasn't on the bill, and we went out to do the show, and I got destroyed by these this Italian crowd. They worked up loogies. They drenched me in spit. They were throwing stuff at me, and I was just covered from head to toe in dripping, gross, just like you're thinking, loogies. And I had no idea why and what that was about. And, you know, and I found out years later that because the Scorpions got the first band thrown off the bill because they wanted to go to a car show. And so they blamed me, and they had a female lead singer saying that I didn't want to play with another girl on the act. So that's why they came out.
Well, I remember you, Joan, the 1980s. The opening act was the Lamb for the Slaughter, and it usually worked that way. I saw Van Halen. It might have been the Diver Down tour, and whoever the opening act was, I never even heard them because the boos were just constantly through the whole thing. Yeah. It's certainly a different time now, but you had to. It would drive people right out of the business, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand why people don't want to put up with it. Certainly in the Runaways, we took so much verbal abuse, not to mention people throwing stuff at us. But the verbal abuse is really intense and can be, I think, more destructive, especially people when you're younger. You know, you've got don't have a strong self-esteem.
Yeah.
Unless you feel very strong in your confidence and your self-esteem. It's the sort of thing that can really send you over the edge. So,
Joni's career is so long. I want to point out that Van Halen and Tom Petty and other bands opened for the Runaways. Runaways did not open. They opened for the Runaways.
Yeah.
And, it's true. And you know, there were times when we played in front of techno bills.
Yeah.
And for instance, we played one time before we did the Who tour a few years ago. The Who were very close to us, and we loved them, and they loved Joan right from the beginning. We played with the Who, and they had B-52s on the bill. And the Who crowd didn't like the B-52s. I guess they were too whatever.
Yeah.
And they did not last through two songs. So that was that, and we saw that happen. And then later on, we had a wonderful tour with the Police. We came back and we did a tour with the Police where they had a lot of techno bands like Flock of Seagulls and Talking Heads. And they pummeled us. They were just stuck.
Yeah, we
got killed. Wow. You know, so, you know, you see the different things because I think at one point Sting said he hated rock and roll. So there was, you know, we're there with the big hit, I Love Rock and Roll, and there was signs, I hate rock and roll.
It's two diametrically opposed positions. But, yeah, I can see where that might be a little difficult. Yeah. Joan, I wanted to ask you because, and I forgot about this, I don't even know this is true, but didn't Mattel release a Joan Jett Barbie doll at one point?
Yeah, they did.
Do you have any?
I think I have one, yeah. I mean, don't know, Kenny, do you have one?
I probably have one. I have one of the trucks.
What's the truck?
Famous truck, those little cars they make. So there's a big
they're
truck.
Famous. They're Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. Those must be worth it.
They made a Hot Wheels.
Semi-trailer. Jeez, Kate, hold on to those, because those have to be worth a mint at this point.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
There you go.
That's awesome.
I thought that was real. Yeah, that's a Joan Jett Barbie. Now, you know you've made it when there's a Joan Jett Barbie doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, when you play
that's
the...
You know what it is? That's all you got to do. You just got to laugh and go, wow, this is amazing.
Yes, Joan, I would imagine when you play these festival shows like the MMRBQ coming up this weekend that a lot of bands will, you know, maybe have a chance to meet you. Do you get asked to come up and perform on their sets quite a bit? And if so, when does that happen if you do that? Does it just have to strike you at the right moment?
Yeah, I'm not a big jammer. I feel very uncomfortable. I'm one of these people that like to be very rehearsed.
Yeah.
I'm not good with just, like, walking out on stage. It makes me very nervous. So, I mean, as much as I'd like to, usually I don't get asked a lot, but, you know, the few times I do, it'd be something like with the Foo Fighters, and we'd rehearse things, you know. Sometimes I'd go out and just play with them, but...
Where
I had to play one of their songs or like the Nirvana stuff.
Right.
I mean, I had to rehearse. You know, I had to go through it. I can't just go out there and just play it without practicing with them.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, Dave is well-known, just rock fan altogether. Did he fanboy a little bit on you?
We fanboy on each other.
That's awesome. I believe it. That's great. Well, listen, we appreciate your guys' time. Like I said, there's so much interest and excitement about you playing our show specifically. So we are stoked for the set and, of course, the long history here in Philadelphia and WMMR. It's a perfect fit. So we're excited for it. And, Kenny, thanks for your time and speaking with us this morning as well. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for all the support.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys on Saturday. Joan Jett, Kenny Laguna, yeah! Thank you guys. Awesome. Hang on.
So cool.
Yeah, very cool, man. She's sounds fired up and ready to go.
I mean,
well, this would be my first Joan Jett show.
She's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
When she performs.
Yep.
Very cool.
Nice. All right, so we are going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Asbury Park. Riot Redemption Rock and Roll premiering in theaters in 2 days. Excuse me. I tried to do that quietly. And a $25 Jersey Mike's gift card as well. So this is Steve Van Zandt and Southside Johnny and David Sancius and Bruce Springsteen return to. What is this? I don't even know what this
it
is.
Means stuff.
Is Bruce going to be at this?
It's something.
I need to know that, okay? So some things I don't realize.
Should we visit this on the other side of this?
See Stephen Van Zandt, Southside Johnny Lyon, David Sancius, and Bruce Springsteen return to the legendary upstage, as well as never-before-seen interviews and cinema-exclusive performances.
It's a movie that has all those guys in it.
It's a movie!
But it's also a $25 Jersey Mike gift card.
Okay. Oh, my God. Of course it is. How could we be so stupid?
All right. So, lesson question.
It's a movie.
We are going to
give... With all that.
We are going to ask this question. Robert Irvine is opening a new ice cream shop. What's it going to be called? 215-263-WMMR. Robert Irvine opening a new ice cream shop. What is he going to call it? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now while you're calling in. We're going to do that.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Rita's Water Ice. Rita's most popular flavor of Italian ice is the delicious and fruity mango. You can enjoy mango ice and so many different frozen treats at Rita's. You can't mango wrong. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Blac Chyna reportedly pulled a knife on her hairdresser after the two got into a fight at a party on Saturday night. Apparently, Blac Chyna owes the hairdresser money and thought she could settle the tab by stabbing her to death.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you saw this, but Pope Francis receiving a Las Vegas Golden Knights jersey from a fan on Friday. The pontiff burst out laughing after receiving the jersey, noting that he would gladly use it to wipe his ass because he's a Flyers fan.
Oh my God.
And finally, 72-year-old Sylvester Stallone proudly posting pictures of his 22-year-old daughter Sophia graduating from USC, wrote Stallone, quote, "I never thinkered this would happen in like a billion." And that's your Hollywood trash.
Like a billion. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to the question. Robert Irvine is opening a new ice cream shop, and what is it going to be called? Over to the phone, talk Dan. Hi, Dan. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. Dan, what is going to be the name of Robert Irvine's new ice cream shop?
Djibouti Tutti Frutti.
You got it. Djibouti Tutti Frutti. Hang on, Dan, because we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Asbury Park. Riot Redemption Rock and Roll, premiering in theaters for 2 days only. And it's May 22nd and 29th. And $25 Jersey Mike's gift card. See Steve Van Zandt, Southside Johnny, David Sanchez, and Bruce Springsteen return in the legendary upstage, as well as never before seen interviews and cinema exclusive performance. Tickets and information, visit AsburyParkMovieTickets.com. Now we can do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by... What was that? This is the goofiest old-time radio sound effect ever. Brought to you by Primo Hoagies, by the way. Details and... on locations at primohoagies.com. So let's see. Courtney Love and daughter Frances Bean Cobain, along with band members Dave Grohl, former band members, I should say, Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic, have joined together for the legal battle against designer Marc Jacobs over Nirvana's image.
The hell?
Yeah. According to court documents obtained by The Blast, Marc Jacobs is planning on calling all four of them as witnesses in the case. Last year, Nirvana LLC sued Marc Jacobs, accusing the famed designer of ripping off their iconic Nirvana image of a smiley face, which they claim to have trademarked.
I thought, yeah, so initially when you discuss this, they don't own the smiley face deal, but the version of it, that how does it work again?
Well, I think it's like a couple X's for eyes.
Right,
and then, you
the
know,
squiggly smile.
Yeah.
So Jacobs defended himself, saying that he basically introduced the world to grunge.
Oh, really? Oh. He did that?
Yeah, the designer claimed since his original grunge collection, he has referenced the style in many collections.
I made that.
He says the smiley face is his work and not Nirvana's, and is demanding the lawsuit be tossed. So we will see.
I invented music.
Speaking of grunge, members of Bush have given a name to their upcoming album. It's called The Mind Plays Tricks on You. Frontman Gavin Rossdale recently said that Bush's new album turned out more aggressive than some of the band's recent efforts. He said, I decided to make a really heavy record. The last record I made was a bit more commercially minded because, for whatever reason, I wanted to do that.
Well, that didn't work.
But this time, I was inspired by playing so many live shows and all these heavy metal festivals. And recorded in Los Angeles, it will include a new song called Bullet Holes,
ooh,
which will also be featured in the upcoming film John Wick 3. Bush
we've
will...
got Bush.
Yep.
We've got Bush.
Bush will hit the road with Live later this spring for what they're calling the Ultimate Tour.
Yeah. I love it.
Both bands are celebrating the 25th anniversaries of their respective landmark albums, 16 Stone and Throwing Copper. On Saturday night, Steven Tyler and Marilyn Manson were the special guests of the Hollywood Vampires during their gig at L.A.'s Greek Theater. The touring version of The Vampires features co-founders Joe Perry, Alice Cooper, and actor Johnny Depp, along with supporting musicians Glenn Sobel on drums, Chris Wise on bass, and Buck Johnson on keyboard and vocals.
Hey, everybody. It's a good friend, Steven Tiller.
Steven Tiller joined the band for Tiny Bradshaw's The Train Kept a Rollin', a longtime Aerosmith standard, with Marilyn Manson tackling Alice Cooper's 18. Other highlights performed by the Vampires at the gig were covers of The Doors' Break On Through, AC/DC's The Jack, David Bowie's Heroes, The Who's Baba O'Reilly, and Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. Playing some pretty fun covers.
They do. I mean, they're definitely straight-up rock fans. Yep. I'm curious as to how, you know, I guess, is Depp worth a damn, you know?
When he's okay. Yeah. I mean, as far as playing guitar, I haven't seen enough of him, like, trying to play solo or anything like that, but I know that he can play the guitar, so.
I like the clothes.
So they tagged on the show closing with a closing rendition of Cooper's School's Out. So, Steven Tyler got up and Marilyn Manson played with him. Mick Jagger has reportedly been given a clean bill of health after a month after undergoing heart valve replacement surgery last month in Manhattan.
Oh, I'm healthy.
According to an unnamed source talking to The Sun, they said Mick is delighted to be back to full health, feels 100% after his op. He is his normal chipper and positive self. Doctors are really pleased with his progress and we're happy to give him a clean bill of health. His healthy eating has really helped with his recovery, and he's been taking it easy and resting as well as enjoying downtime with his friends and family. The health scare has just reminded him to keep taking good care of himself.
He does, and he eats nothing but Lunchables. That's his, I like him.
His daughter Jade posted a smiling photo of Mick with daughter Georgia May to her Instagram account on Friday. Last Wednesday, the Rolling Stones frontman and drummer Charlie Watts were spotted together at the Oval in Kennington, it says, England, to watch England's cricket match against Pakistan.
I was watching footage of him, of the Stones, on Ed Sullivan. It must be restored footage because it looks spectacular. It's color footage. Mick Jagger looks like he's 11 years old.
Was this when they did Let's Spend the Night Together and changed the words to Let's Spend Some Time Together?
I think that's it, yeah.
Oh, I think that was their first appearance on the show.
Really pretty wild.
Wow. All right, and then finally, the autographed prototype copy of the Beatles' Yesterday and Today album cover has sold for a whopping $234,000. The album, which was first owned by John Lennon himself, who, in exchange for some Beatles bootlegs, gifted the album to then-fan and future record promo man David Morrell back in 1971. The auctioned album featured a back-sleeve drawing by Lennon of a man holding a shovel.
Oh, I drew this.
Over the years, Morrell was able to add both Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr's signature to the album sleeve, marking it the only one in existence signed by three Beatles. So do you know the origin of that album cover, Yesterday and Today? It was originally what they called the butcher shop picture.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of like baby parts and
it
meat.
Was doll parts and meat. And they were in a they were all wearing like butcher's jackets, for lack of a better term. And they put the album out and they pressed thousands of these things, and the backlash, people didn't like it because it looked weird. It was definitely not in sync with the Beatles at the time.
It's disturbing.
It was just kind of an arty thing they did. And so they took a lot. Some of them were sold and kept, and they're very rare.
Yeah.
But what they also, the record company did, was they took what ended up being the cover for the album, and they made it a sticker, and they put it on top of all this because they had printed them all up.
Yeah,
and they weren't going to just throw them away. So they put stickers on top that had the other cover. If you get your hands on one of those, it's worth a lot of money.
I have no doubt.
The CEO and president of Julian's Auction said this was a world record for a Beatle butcher cover and the third highest price paid for a vinyl in 2015. Julian's sold Ringo Starr's number one White Album first. He got the very first copy of the White Album.
Ringo, wow.
And that sold for $790,000.
Can you imagine?
And in January that same year, an acetate copy of My Happiness, the first song that Elvis Presley ever recorded, sold for $300,000. This is the third highest price paid for a vinyl, and the market is still developing, he said. So we anticipate in the next 5 years, this same record could bring in $500,000 plus. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There you go. That's what I have for you. In music news. Am I giving these away?
Yeah, let's finish those off, Press.
All right, this is screening is tomorrow night. I'm giving away the last of the passes for John Wick 3. It will be at the UA King of Prussia at 7:30. You will need to be there by 7 o'clock. The movie doesn't open until Friday, so we'll get you in advance of that. 215-263-WMMR. Five callers will give you those movie passes. We have one last break to take before we come back and get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize and wrap it up. We'll be back shortly.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on? Join Marissa Magnata Friday from 4 to 6 at Sprint, 50 Centerton Road in Mount Laurel. Enter to win $2,000 to put toward a week at the Jersey Shore. Tickets to the sold-out Vans Warped Tour and custom MMR and Sprint sunglasses. Try Sprint's LTE Advanced Network now, up to 2 times faster than before, and the reliability you can count on. Hang with the MM Army and Bud Light Friday from 8 to 10 at Tobola's at Big Heads Richboro, 1034 2nd Street Pike, for an MM Barbecue 2019 ticket read. Win tickets every 10 minutes and enjoy 275 Bud Light bottles and drafts.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
A lot of activity for a Monday morning. A lot of times Mondays are kind of, you know, they kind of stall a little bit. But we had a ton of people come by or call in guest-wise on the program. And I guess I ought to say thank you to a few of them.
Sure.
For being a part of our program. We started with our friend Chris Coons, United States Senator from the state of Delaware. Just happened to be in the area. And we have a relationship with him. He always comes out to the Camp Out for Hunger and helps to kind of stimulate activity with his constituents. And we appreciate that.
Is it time for something to be named after the Preston and Steve show in Delaware?
I think it might be.
At this point. I mean, Bob Marley's got something.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a good relationship with the senator.
Change Christiana to Preston Stevia.
Preston Stevia would be great. Oh,
Stevia is that sweetener, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of sweet.
But you make it one word, yes. Preston Stevia, or something like that.
I think that's totally viable.
Or a major highway or something like that. They could come after us. Absolutely. Or one of the beaches. How about that?
What about that building that Thomas Capano...
The beach named after you? That'd be great.
But there's a building that Thomas Capano built that's it's just on the side of a highway somewhere that has never been occupied, you know, because he murdered somebody. So we can maybe name that building after
Still? I'd gladly take a murderer's building.
Is that in Wilmington?
Think so, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. All right. I won't quote you on anything.
Just putting the bug in your ear.
Yeah.
Robert Irvine.
Yay!
guy today, and it was cool because the event that he has tonight, the third annual Beats and Eats, we heard was sold out, but they snagged another table and made some room for MMR listeners only.
And this isn't like a little poker table, a little card table at the end of, you know, where the kids sit. This is a full table, everything.
No, and
soup to nuts.
Andrew Zimmerman's going to be there, yes. And Buddy Velastro, and Jose Garces, and a lot. I mean, like and they bring the food out and serve it to you. It's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
So that is tonight. So thank you. We also had Joan Jett on.
Yeah, legendary Joan Jett
and Kenny Laguna. I'll be honest; I didn't think Joan was going to be very talkative. You know, she's been doing this for a long, long, long time, but she loves Philadelphia and loves WMMR. She was very talkative.
Once she heard that there's a major building in Delaware named after the show, she
she knew
she loosened up.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you to Melissa Levy, who came by for the annual Philly Loves Pause Day, which is Wednesday. The 15th, and you can go to phillylovespaws.com, I believe, or .org. We have the information. It's, phillypaws.org. And you can find out who's participating. You can just spend some money that you normally be spending, and a portion of that is going to go to Paws. So, very cool, fun show today. And we have one more thing to do before we get the letter of the day. One of our interns is leaving. Not only one of our interns, a calendar girl. From years past, what year were you in our calendar, Jasmine?
2017.
2017.
Yeah, all right,
this,
2 years ago.
This is Jasmine, and she's
yeah.
She's been an awesome intern. How are you, Jasmine?
Good. I'm kind of sad, but I'm happy. I don't have to wake up this early anymore.
I know. You sound a little rough today. Were you up late last night?
Yeah, I was helping my mom's in school, so she had a final. So I went to her house and was helping her with schoolwork. So I finished my school last week. Now I'm helping her with hers, and I'm like.
Now, if your mom doesn't study, do you send her to her room, or what happens? What's the arrangement there?
That's on her.
Yeah, on
yesterday,
her.
She wasn't doing well, and I was just like, that sucks.
Like, where is she going to school?
Rowan. They're just like
no
online
kidding.
Classes. Yeah, she does like RCGC.
What's which that? Is what now?
Like rowing. It's like their community college. It's connected. They like Rowan University bought like... Gloucester County Community College, so like it's all connected.
Oh, and what's she going for, if I may ask?
I think she's just trying to get like her prerequisites like out of the way for right now.
Okay.
So something like basic.
Well, good for her.
She had to do an engineering degree in her country, but here like it doesn't really add up for anything.
All right,
gotcha. What country?
Chile, South America. That's
Chile.
That's where I was born.
Oh, no kidding! Wow. Okay. Well, you see, all this time we've been with you,
we
learned things. Wow.
We eat at Chili's all the time.
We love that place.
So you're done with school. Graduated?
I graduate on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yay. Man. And where? Rowan? Or
yeah, Rowan. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. So, what kind of degree are you graduating with?
Journalism.
Okay. And what do you want to do with that?
Eventually, I want my own talk show. Like I want. I'm not sure if I want radio or TV. I've already like dabbled in like television, so that's ultimately what I want.
Right.
But I still want to like build my own brand and
your
like
brand?
My name and like eventually use what I have with my career and then partner it with my degree.
Okay,
like a Jane Pauley or like a Wendy Williams.
Like a Wendy Williams.
Okay. Yeah.
You
like,
want to be a personality.
Yeah,
I got
like
it.
A TV
that's cool.
You want to be Jasmine.
But I want to add like the journalism and I want people to hear what's going on in the world from me with my personality.
Okay.
Like, that's what.
All right.
All right. Well, hang in there. Work hard. We know that you can do that because you've worked hard with us and we appreciate all that help. So.
Yeah, she's got a good name to just be Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Yeah, single, solo. Yeah, exactly.
Jasmine. Today on Jasmine, Carrot Top visits the set.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Steve could be your voice guy.
There we go.
Yeah, that's set up. Have you enjoyed it here?
Yeah,
other
I
than
have.
The early morning thing, you know?
Other than the early morning thing, I think this is probably the best internship. Like, I go to school and we talk about other people's internships and they don't really get to do anything. And I feel like we are so hands-on that you get the best type of experience rather than, like, interning at a place and just, like, fetching errands and not really being able to, like, learn. I remember in the beginning I was like, oh, my God, we have to do so much work back there. And then eventually now it's like second nature because like you learned it in school, but you didn't get to practice it as much.
Yeah.
So
good program. You actually apply it here. That's cool. Nice. Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed it. That's excellent. Good luck with everything, and you're always a member of the family, so we hope we can help you out sometime.
Okay, good. Awesome. Great. I'll definitely be back to visit because I like all of the events that you guys do. I talk about it all the time. Like, we have to send logs into, like, my teacher to let them know, like, what we do here, and I'm like, today I did that.
What's been one of the really fun events that you love?
I love the Camp Out for Hunger. Okay. That was, like, so much fun. I kept going to the stores. That was, like, cool. We're like, get this, and it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then, like, we had to do the signs for Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Outside, and like we were like trying to think of clever things. I'm like, I haven't really seen that many movies, like his older ones. So I'm like, how do I know his catchphrases?
That's funny.
Well, you did the research, and that clearly worked. Yeah. When we did that.
Yeah, Tom. Right?
Yeah, exactly. He immediately called in.
Well, we love you. Thank you. Good luck with everything. Okay.
Thank you guys for everything too. Bet.
Jasmine.
Yay!
Jasmine. Last day
today on the press. Jasmine.
All right. We need to do the letter today. Case, you're going to do that, right?
Yeah, do it.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
M, as in Mopey Monday.
All right, so you're going to need five altogether, so that's number one. By the time we get to the fifth one on Friday, we'll give away the six-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ presented by Bud Light this Saturday, BB&T Pavilion. For Shinedown, Evanescence, The Struts, Joan Jett, Fozzy, The Glorious Sons, Bad Wolves, and Serato. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also Armor, Metals, and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs. Case, you're out and about today, man.
Yes, today is X-Men Day, and we are celebrating at Brave New World Comics. It's in on 2nd Street in Old City, Philadelphia.
Great place.
I will be there from like 6 to 8 tonight. First 100 people through the door get an X-Men Day prize pack. There's going to be 500 exclusive posters, all sorts of prizes to give away with trivia. So please come out and join me at Brave New World, 6 to 8 tonight in Old City.
Awesome. Tomorrow on our program, David Tell is checking in.
Yeah.
One of our favorite people. And we have a Tattoo Tuesday, your chance to win a free tattoo from the President Steve Show. Yes, Marissa.
Just want to give a really big thank you to Connor back there in our production studio when we're down a man here in the air. He really steps up back there. So thank you, Connor.
You're awesome. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. Pierre's in next. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Yes, I'll have another beer. And why the hell are you people looking at me like I need to do something for you? It's Mother's Day. Figure it out, people.
Next message.
Thank you to MMR for the Mummers Museum Mother's Day breakfast yesterday with Godshaw. We had a great time. Lots of food, lots of fun. Thanks.
Next message.
Hey, weather. I need you to stop raining on Sundays for sake. I want my Sundays back.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.